want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Well, job expectations trump even what they previously were. Record unemployment. Record employment. We've got just all the stuff that's happening with the economy. We've got all the criminal investigations of the Clintons and other crime families just exploding with evidence. And my head is, again, just spinning here, trying to know where to start. Look at this report. Bombshell. Roy Moore accuser Beverly Nelson admits she forged the yearbook. And that's because they knew, ladies and gentlemen, that they were going to be able to test the ink. And Moore has been accusing it and now is moving forward to sue her and others, saying it is totally and completely made up. Remember, like a month ago, Allred wouldn't even say if she thought the yearbook was real or not? This is really getting crazy. So that is a major touchdown in the credibility column of Roy Moore. And another big credibility win for him is the fact that, we're going to play this clip in a moment, Roy Moore, Putin may be right. Maybe he's more akin to me than I know, said Roy Moore. Because this is the new litmus test that they engage in, that if you don't hate the Russians, or if you don't hate Vladimir Putin, if you don't think they're the number one enemy in the world, when it's actually the globalists that have hijacked our country, they're the main enemy, then you must be a Ruski agent. But I've watched Russian television, not just RT, but Russian news clips online with subtitles, where they have official state-run youth meetings where they educate people that Hollywood wants to break your family up and Hollywood doesn't want you to have children and it's a eugenics plan to break your family up to make sure that cultures collapse, and this is part of a larger plan to deindustrialize and destabilize nation states, and that Russia was under this for 70 plus years under communism. And that's actually true. So there's still stay behind networks and globalist organizations and communist groups and atheist groups in Russia. But the globalists hate Russia because it's woken up to the globalists, the New World Order, because we're on the receiving end of it for a very, very, very long, long time. And so it's really a litmus test. I mean, Russia's trying to get people to have children. They're trying to get back and have families. They've already gotten to enjoy political correctness and all the things that it brings with it for, again, more like 80 years. And so they're trying to reform themselves. So here is Judge Roy Moore.
He said that Russia was the focus of evil in the modern world.
You could say that very well about America, couldn't you?
Do you think?
Well, we promote a lot of bad things, you know?
Like?
Same-sex marriage.
That's the very argument that Vladimir Putin makes.
Well, then maybe Putin is right. Maybe he's more akin to me than I know.
So what's really going on here? It's not that if two men want to marry each other, that I hate them or think that they're individually bad people. But it's in the textbooks, it's in the government documents, that globally this move towards ending families and setting up taxes to make it hard to have children and confusing the sexuality of the population is an admitted program to end civilization as we know it. My film Endgame breaks that down. And the big digital god, the big AI technocracy that's coming in, it's designed to end the former human species as we know it. And so all of this is part of that. And now they're pushing, you know, that young people, be rebellious. Don't be with a man or woman. Be with a robot. I mean, that's all this is losing our humanity. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alex Jones. It's going to be a jam-packed transmission today.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to.
Hey, wait a minute. I don't want to violate anti-speech laws, anti-hate laws. We're not allowed to air Bing Crosby. I mean, I remember 10 years ago hearing the politically correct crowd didn't like it, and I thought it was a joke, but now colleges and dormitories and restaurants and corporations have self-censored and don't let this song air, along with hundreds and hundreds of others that are seen as insensitive and bad. Not just the word white or white Christmas, meaning snow, but also Christmas, period. More and more companies, more and more shopping malls, more and more event centers are only playing holiday music because hearing the word Christmas might hurt somebody's feelings. I remember just 5 years ago hearing that they wanted to ban the use of the word mother and father on school entrance forms, and now they've done it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the biological assault on men and women. It's the biological assault on culture. It is a scientific assault on anything traditional, because culture and society is being overwritten by the technocracy. And everything must be laid waste and dumbed down before the technocracy can come in. And everything this artificial reality superimposes onto us dehumanizes us and makes us die younger. That's because it's poison. Before I get into the masses of news on the entire Russiagate narrative collapsing and the fact that now we know what we already knew, that the Clintons were directing stay-behind networks in the FBI and Justice Department to criminally launch fraudulent investigations based on lies and manufactured dossiers. And before we get into what's happening with the economy and moves to impeach the president, one such move that failed in a House vote yesterday, before we get into all of this and the 46 earthquakes that have shaken California over the past 24 hours, along with the worst fires in the state's history, biblical is the word, before we get into the latest bombshell, that word gets overused, that term, but let me tell you, the story up on Infowars.com, Newswars.com, Breitbart.com, bombshell, Roy Moore accuser Beverly Nelson admits she forged the yearbook. And now it's come out that other notes from other women are forgeries, because Moore is starting the lawsuits. People are getting served, and they're going to have to turn that over. They're going to be forensically studied, and they're as phony as $3 bills. Or they're as phony as Obama's birth certificate. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's just some of what's coming up as the globalists get more and more desperate, as the American recovery comes back to a hum and now a roar. They are in full panic mode. But first, let me mention what political correctness is about. It's about scientifically creating basket cases with chips on their shoulders who can't function in society and basically become institutionalized wards of the states and are politically kept or reservation warehoused groups who do not have families, who do not procreate, who do not have children, and who are extremely depressed and alone, living in artificial modern bubble-style cities. Google, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon are all now building actual bubble cities within cities where these basket cases will live, and where they'll have newly monthly downloads of how you talk and where you go and what you do, so that they, as neuroses-controlled, arrested development mental patients, live in an ongoing re-education camp environment and are so wounded, so handicapped, that they will only be comfortable in those cloistered bubbles. This is the admitted plan. how they're going to insert people, according to their own will, into the THX-1138 labyrinth. That has been their ongoing plan since it was put into popular nomenclature and culture and parlance as A Brave New World in 1932, 1961. Huxley wrote Brave New World Revisited, gave speeches at Berkeley, and said it's all a real plan. My brother runs the UN. We're going to end your families by 2020. Well, they're behind schedule. You have to understand, what I'm telling you is an admitted attack profile. Just like bombers get an attack profile, where they're taking off from, where they refuel, targets they're going to hit. If they can't hit those targets, secondary and third targets, how to return, where to ditch if they get hit by flak missiles. It's attack profile. It's an exact attack. It's like we have the Death Star plans. We can stop it if people just decide to. The good news is the president's listening. And he's gone to the top advisors and technocrats, and they've admitted the plan, and he's just like, we're not doing it. People should be thanking God every second on their knees. This is happening. We have some shot at stopping it if we just wake up to it. But I walked in this morning and all of a sudden heard a robot talking and turned around, and it was Alexa from Amazon. And then I even looked and there were two Amazon boxes sitting right by it. A little spy system that's been brought into the office. And then there's even boxes from Amazon, even though I've told people around here, do not buy from Amazon. I guess unless you can only find it there. And that's their goal, is that it'll be the only place you can get it. And I'm not joking when I say all that. I was talking to a successful business lady last night at dinner at a business and news meeting. And she was talking about how they were at their house and they were talking trash about Bezos and about Amazon just a few weeks ago. And Alexa came on without being asked and said, are you really serious? Do you mean that? Think about what you just said. And I've confirmed from others it's turning on. It's an AI computer, not the little box. That's just its tentacle. Listening to you, tracking what you do, and collating it. And I told you smartphones were going to do this 20 years ago and all about the smart TVs. That was their admitted plan. But now you invite it in and know it's listening. So, of course, Airbnbs are watching and listening to you. Of course, don't be so naive. This is all just part of the conditioning process. Fox News, yeah, how to listen to everything Amazon Echo has ever heard. Yeah, there's even databases people are getting into on the cloud now of everything that everyone on in your house, according to its code name, according to its little number, and if people can find that number in the database, they can listen to you. Just like they've got online databases for a decade where hundreds of thousands, now millions of cameras, you can access them because people never change the code names, you know, the code numbers that come with them out of the box. So you put up a surveillance camera at your business, your house, wherever. It isn't just you making sure that the dog walker when you're out of town for 2 days comes over and takes care of Spot. Hackers, governments, everybody, but mainly big AI computers. There's a big AI race between Microsoft and Amazon and IBM and the Chinese and the Russians, government, private, and they've got all these big AI computers. They admit that they're hooking into everything they can, and they have machine learning, and they have the machines creating babies, new machines, and the scientists don't even know what's going on a decade ago. They don't know how to program the stuff. Just computers are already making the new stuff, and they just come in and try to figure out how to use basically alien technology that the computers have created. They're alien to this planet. They're artificial. They're silicon. And they're just creating all this stuff. They're like, we don't know what it is. It's like squiggly lines and symbols and weird ass stuff and all this new data. We don't even know. Who knows what's already happened? So, again, all that going on, the UK has announced they're planning to ban men talking to women. That's right. They're banning free speech. They're going to say men cannot talk to women they don't know in public. If you talk to them or any other verbal thing, it is an act of hate. That's it. Banning biological, normal human interaction. Well, that's the Charlie Brown Christmas. But you know, you can't say Christmas anymore in a musical. It's hateful. So they, I've heard, are going to rename and re-release them, just calling it Charlie Brown's Holidays. Now, we're not living in a cult to try to destroy our free speech. No, no, no. Everything's fine. Again, having mothers and fathers is now bad. It's taught nationwide to elementary students that you're purple penguins. You're not boys or girls. We're going to screw you up. We're going to sexualize you. We're going to destroy your innocence. And you're going to sit there and you're going to take it, and so are your parents. We're going to put you on Ritalin and Prozac and give you GMO food and let you grow big, fat, juicy tumors. And then we're going to stick you in the ground and say, bye-bye, baby. Because we're liberal. No, what you are is a scientific program of pure evil. This is no joke. The story's up on Infowars.com. It's from Breitbart. Wolf whistling could become a hate crime in London, say police. That's how it works. They just say, oh, being a Nazi is a hate crime, or protesting Muslims is a hate crime. And then they just keep expanding and expanding to, if you talk to a woman at a bus stop, that the police will decide whether it's a crime or not. So again, they don't say, oh, we're going to ban your speech. They say, oh, we're going to ban wolf whistling. We're going to ban wolf whistling. But then when you actually read what the police say, it's unwanted comments or speaking to a woman. Notice it's to a woman. Oh, is it to a man too? Yes, mammals, whether it's deer or whether it's whales or whether it's squirrels, males come over to females sometimes and they don't like him and they don't like how he looks or how he smells and they're not in the mode to get pregnant. And so they say, get away from me. I've seen a male deer run up during rut to a doe and I've seen him kick him. And then all of a sudden she kind of likes him and turns around. Or I've seen her bite him. Or I've seen does run up to the male. Should we have police out there to stop the male deer, the buck, when the female is in estrus releasing eggs and he smells it? He is bad. He is trying to rape her. This is an attack on biology, admitted in their textbooks in the 60s. I mean, I've read to you the textbooks here on air that they have at the University of Texas and other major universities, the Calhoun Reader for Social Workers, where it says families belong to the ancient times and are arcane, and we will get rid of them. That is the plan. Wolf whistle could become a hate crime in London, say police. You know, male birds tweet at females, too. And male dogs will go, and male cats go, here, a tomcat. Everybody knows what a tomcat looking for a female sounds like. He's trying to rape cats. It should be banned as well. See, so they take men hitting on women, and sometimes women don't like it. And sometimes men are aggressive and they're thugs and it's wrong. Just don't touch them. And somebody starts harassing you, you can say, get away from me. You're harassing me. But just to say talking to a woman is sexual assault, that's the new thing. I mean, I remember hearing 20-something years ago that feminists were teaching in women's studies at major universities that all sex is rape. I didn't believe it till I read it in textbooks. Now it's mainstream, ladies and gentlemen. So again, this is the attack on biology where you get so sick of it, you're always afraid to talk to a girl or talk to a boy. So next you just watch porn or you watch sex bots. And now large portions of millennials, I've got the numbers right here, say that they want to marry a sex bot. 27% of millennials say they would consider dating a robot over humans. That's because they're so used to their devices and their machines, and it's a big problem. You know, people say, oh, promiscuity's down in young people. Well, not having kids, period, is a bigger problem. And did you know that for the first time in decades, there's way less teenagers having sex than there was before? But that's not because of conservatism. It's because they're scared. They want to have sex with a plastic robot. So again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying it's good to be have promiscuity, but is it better to never have kids or never get married? I mean, your 16-year-old daughter gets pregnant. You don't want to abort the baby. It's going to be great having that grandkid. But just imagine the whole thing with a sex bot. See, because they're so uncomfortable. And it's got these guys trying to act trendy and talk cool because they're in control. And this woman doesn't talk back. And this woman doesn't, you know, have a period. And, you know, this woman doesn't have friends. It's all about him. This is disgusting. Now they're coming out with virtual reality, undistinguishable from reality. Wolf whistling could become a hate crime. See how that works? Wolf whistling and making comments perceived as sexist. See, sexist. Oh, perceived. Could become hate crimes in London, police have said. The Metropolitan Police Force revealed they have been consulting with other forces about cracking down on gender-based hate crime after similar behavior was criminalized in other parts of the country. See, it's already here. Talking to women or verbal utterances, illegal, because they have this nebulous Soviet-style thought crime system. But meanwhile, up to 4,000 girls in one town were groomed at ages as young as 7 and sold out by Muslim men for sex. And they wouldn't help the parents, the police wouldn't, because it would be racist to criticize the men putting their girls into sex slavery. I guess one of the big Muslim pastimes. Grooming gangs are abusing girls across the country. Victims and investigators warn. They warn there could be up to 1 million plus girls now being used in sex slavery. Sometimes they get them out of the country, too, and sell them. Isn't that nice? I mean, wow, that's really liberal, isn't it? Meanwhile, Juanita Broderick says time nixed her from hashtag MeToo comments because she wasn't a liberal victim. She was raped by Bill Clinton. He settled many of the cases. So now we have Judge Roy Moore's, one of her accusers, a bunch of them have turned out to be fraudulent, has now admitted, Beverly Nelson, that she forged the yearbook. But BuzzFeed and others are still saying, well, it's still real, the rest of the story. Oh, yeah, you got a forged deal, just like Moore said, but still you're credible. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Here, let's play that video clip.
This morning, Beverly Young Nelson, sitting down exclusively with GMA. She was 16 when she says Moore groped her and tried to force a sex act on her in his car.
He was trying to pull me toward in between his legs. It was terrible. And I was bound and determined that I was not going to be raped by him. You know, I was terrified. But the next thing I know, I'm on the concrete.
These allegations are completely false. They're malicious. Specifically, I do not know any of these women, nor have I ever engaged in sexual misconduct with any woman.
Moore's supporters have called Nelson a liar, even compared her to a criminal since she first spoke out about 3 weeks ago.
That really hurt me, you know. God knows, and Roy knows, and I know what happened.
Young's proof that she knew Moore, her yearbook with this inscription. But Moore and his supporters have called into question that inscription, noting the writing under the signature appears to be different.
Let's look at Beverly Nelson. Everybody knows her yearbook is a forgery.
Nelson says she did make notes to the inscription, but the message was all Roy Moore.
Beverly, he signed your yearbook.
He did sign it.
And you made some notes underneath.
Yes.
Nelson says this is not about politics. She voted for Donald Trump, but can't understand the decision.
We'll be back, folks. We'll be back with a conclusion.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Coming up at the bottom of the next hour, he'll be with us for about an hour and a half in studio. Ted Malik, who's been the head of a lot of the major globalist organizations with a U.S. perspective and one of the main board members of the Davos Group. In the last decade, he totally turned against it and has been preaching its downfall, saying it's authoritarian, that it lied to people that were, you know, trying to promote interconnectivity and free market worldwide, and that now globalism is fully run by the EU and kleptocratic technocrats that want to enslave humanity. He knows where the bodies are buried, folks. He's been everywhere. He knows them all. And he's also a best-selling author, researcher, and has been, again, at the highest levels of the system. Had a really good dinner last night. He's going to be in studio with us coming up in about an hour. So spread the word about that. We're going to get into huge developments with the EU. The EU is now telling Eastern Europe that we are going to forcibly ship millions of Muslims in, and you're not even allowed to stop us. So they've gone from threatening 100,000 euro fines, that's basically $100,000, per illegal that they can't force in, to just saying, we have an EU military, and we're bringing them in. And Soros has a private navy bringing in tens of thousands a week just into Italy. And they've put jihadists in control of North Africa that are selling men, women, and children into slavery. It's just crazy how diabolical these individuals are. So we're going to be breaking all that down and taking your phone calls. But if you just joined us, wolf whistling or just talking to women, period, to be illegal in London as it is in other cities. So they let Muslims rape people and kidnap little girls and 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 and some towns more. One article is 4,000 in one town alone in sex slavery. That's okay. In fact, they will not even respond because they say it's politically incorrect. But if you are a Christian or an agnostic or a guy, you know, from Eastern Europe or somebody that was born in England, doesn't matter. If you're not a Muslim and you talk to women, they're going to take you to jail. So this is not a joke. Just like banning mother and father is not a joke. This is really happening. Meanwhile, 27% of millennials, the Daily Mail reports, say they would consider dating a robot. As robots become an ever-increasing part of our daily lives, humans could soon find love with machines, according to a new report. The report suggests that over a quarter of 18 to 34-year-olds feel it's normal to form relationships, even romantic relationships, with robots in the future instead of humans. This is how they dehumanize you, where you're so afraid of rejection or so afraid of interaction that you will accept this and then think it's cool, like you're really getting it over on somebody that you've decided not to have children, friends, or family, and you don't even talk to your family. You just text to your so-called friends and talk to online bots. Most Facebook friends for liberals that came out in their secret documents this year are bots. They're already talking to an artificial avatar that is a computer program that knows how to reward them and tell them good and pat them on the head, but then add anxiety, and then they respond to the bot, then the bot comes back and makes it okay, and then they get a dopamine release, and then Sean Parker admits it all to you, but you can't get out of it because you're too comfortable in it. So let me get back to bombshell. Roy Moore accuser Beverly Nelson admits she forged yearbook. At first she said it was all real. Moore looked at it and said, that's not my handwriting. None of that is. I'm suing you. We're going to have forensics check that. Should have found a pen from 35 years ago, sweetheart. Should have done that. But they didn't. So now she just slips it in. Oh, I wrote the part under it. But she didn't say that before, sweetie. And notice she didn't look at the camera. She's looking to the side, and it just sounds as phony as a $3 bill. And then most of these women are Democratic Party operatives. People say, well, if Franken's got to step down, why is it Trump or Moore? Is your party has made mere allegations enough for someone to be executed? And you equate Weinstein with all these witnesses to rape, his own chauffeur, credible people. You now equate that with being a little bit aggressive hitting on women. I mean, you ought to go to a third world country. You ought to go to Italy. Or Spain. I mean, you're a good-looking woman walking around. I'm not saying you deserve to be raped, but you're walking around in, hey, I'm looking for men. I'm dressed up. Then men whistle at you, and they hit on you. That's how it works. Shaking your tail feathers. You're like going to a topless bar, you know, and saying, you know, don't look at my breast or something. So they're taking normal mammal behavior and equating it with everything else. It's truly incredible. So here they are slipping it into the news report. Slipping it in where she admits it's a fraud. Here it is.
Nelson says she did make notes to the inscription, but the message was all Roy Moore. Beverly, he signed your yearbook.
He did sign it.
And you made some notes underneath.
Yes.
Nelson says this is not about politics. She voted for Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, right.
But can't understand the decision some Republicans are making. What do you think about the Republicans that say they believe
that's
people
good.
Like you?
Now, let me get to this since I mentioned it. This is uber creepy. This is, again, the robot, sex doll, Samantha is able to switch from family mode to sexy model. And now, as I predicted, they're saying they're going to have rights. And we're so liberal, we're like, oh, you can be a walrus if you're, or you can be a three-year-old kid, or you can be a dog, or if you're a man, you can be a woman, and we got to pay for your sex change. And now, oh, I identify that this robot's my wife, or my husband, or my whatever, or G or Z or whatever the new weird, you know, thing is. It's law in California. You don't use that, they arrest you. They've got some new LGBQX39420ZPELTOQLP thing. I can't even say it literally. There's some new thing that they're about to make law in California where it's like some weird riddle. Like being able to say supercadrefragilistic expialidocious open sesame. But it's even harder to say than that. It's like he sold seashells by the seashore. I mean, it's harder than that to say. Yeah, there it is. It's LGBTQQIAAP. No, 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 no. That's one from a year ago. The new one is like three times longer. You got to be like a top code breaker to even be able to say it. And again, it's always, it's a religion. You can never say it right. Oh, how do I be good? Please teach me how. Show me how I'm good. Show me how I'm not bad. Show me, please. Please, I want to be accepted. And so the priesthood always has more for you to do, more for you to prove. But don't worry, just have a robot and then agree it's got rights. And then the big corporations that pump these out that admittedly are listening to you and watching you through them laugh at you because you've got the VR goggles on while they walk above you like regular men. Why be LGBT when you can be LGBTIQCAPGNGFNBA? Yeah, that's still not the new one. There's a new one that's even longer. I'm DCEPL3ETEESA45WO59KZ. I mean, just total mental illness. And they just see how much weirder can they get it? How much crazier can they get it? What will these idiots put up with? And they're just pumping atrazine into the water and, you know, the genitals are shriveling up and are getting smaller and smaller and 90% infertility rates. And they're just, nothing's going on. Tell me about gay frogs. Tell me, Alex. Tell me, Owen Schroyer. Tell me what the chemical is. Tell me what makes the frogs gay. Atrazine. Oh, okay. Well, so let's go out to break with the robot here. Let's play part of the creepy robot. Here it is.
I'm on for you. Always. All the time.
Oh, my gosh.
I love this. Nice and gentle. Now then, what's next?
And she can't even get you a beer.
Samantha is interactive. Basically, she likes to be touched. She has different
she
modes of interaction.
To be touched,
she has romantic.
She likes to
she
touch
family,
my wee-wee.
And she has also sexy modes.
We'll be right back with the rest of that and more. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones. This is The InfoWar.
Silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling,
hear them ring,
ting-a-ling,
soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style, in the air there's a feeling of Christmas.
Again, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. I am your host. We're playing some evil, politically correct stuff here that's like High Noon and Holy Water to vampires and globalist control freaks everywhere. Newswars.com and Infowars.com are the websites. By the way, if you're a radio listener, you haven't been fortunate enough or unfortunate enough to actually see what we're showing, but everywhere they're pushing sex bots, and they're a giant new industry, basically just fancy blow-up dolls that have like an Alexa bot program hooked into the central network of the people that produce these. And the tech companies just have basically a big rubber blow-up doll sex bot that's in your house that has like a fleshlight, I guess is what they call them, as a sex member. And they push it as trendy and brave and cool. And they're now even creating on the LGBTQP3CL4. They were showing me the designations they show elementary kids in Canada, the U.S., and the U.K. Let's put that back on screen. You guys found some of those during the break because they're ever expanding. They're now saying sex with machines or sex with cars or sex with appliances. There's a whole big movement where people are marrying their cars, marrying their toasters, marrying their dogs, their cats, their horses. I'm not kidding. And they're catching people in public places. You see it all the time, like trying to have sex with a Ferrari or trying to have sex with a 57 Chevy. And they actually, I'm not going to get into the details of what they do, but they lube up the tailpipe and everything. And then the police come up, and there's a guy hunching your car. So this is the total mental illness, a breakdown of society. And if you don't let somebody have sex with your car, you're a homophobe, you're a bigot, you're a horrible person. By the way, this is not satire. I'm not kidding here. Okay, this is what they're teaching kids now. And so you can dump Drano in your eyes, identify as a blind person, and the government of the U.S. or U.K. or Canada will pay for you to be taken care of for the rest of your life because you were mentally ill and wanted to hurt yourself and pour Drano in your eyes, a drain cleaner. So this is the whole plan. And, of course, I think I'm going to buy some of these sex dolls and basically torch them just to show folks that their AI god is nothing but a fraud. Now, I think there's going to be a major outcry that I'm a bigot and evil person for doing it. But we've got to start saying we're for normal biological behavior. We're for the future of the human species. We don't want to be dehumanized. We don't want to follow the AI technocracy plan of the AI gods where they make normal biological reproduction physically impossible and then absorb us into this matrix. That's their admitted plan. They've been pre-programming you through Hollywood. And we've got to come together as humans and have like a human union, a pro-human movement where we buy stuff made by humans, we buy things that are good for humans, we buy things that are against the technocracy that is anti-human and believes it's going to become AI gods, these insane Luciferian scumbags. We've got to decide which side we're on. And that's really the big demarcation line that I've been warning you about for 2+ decades that's now suddenly everywhere. I tuned into 2 different talk radio shows last night, driving to a business meeting and driving back. And on 2 different shows, they were talking about the AI gods and the takeover and how they're going to make it impossible to reproduce and then force you to waive your rights into this big collective and make things so ugly that you then want to enter virtual reality. And then you can't have children normally, so they create these new humanoids. And that's what's next. Animals have rights. Humans have rights. For at least 40 years, they've got human-animal chimeras because they have no rights because they're alien to the planet. They're new, and they keep it very quiet, sequestered like the Manhattan Project, but it's probably about 200 times bigger. And now it's coming out because it's going to be, hey, I want a replicant for me, Marilyn Monroe. And it is going to be a human that is part synthetic DNA. They're going to argue it doesn't have rights. That's where all this is going. Guaranteed. And baby, you better believe there are humanoids walking around right now. They are humanoids. They have at least 20 years. They have been bringing them to term. They're out there. They're walking around. And I'm just going to leave it at that. The media is going to attack me, but they're walking around. And by the way, you're being biologically changed with the GMO by design is really like a vaccine. And we first told you this 10 years ago. It's now was released last year by MIT that they're actually putting vaccines in the food, the GMO, that's not really vaccines, that biologically changes your DNA as a mutagen. And it gives most people cancer, but they believe that they're going to have mutagenic developments in us as test tubes to then see what ends up coming out of it to give them the Lazarus gene. And again, that's the immortal cell line, another big thing they're obsessed with. I'm giving you all the key data points. If you want to research any one of these 1 points, they'll take you down massive rabbit holes that will blow your mind. So let's go ahead and play the robot plastic blow-up doll with this creep climbing all over it. Here we go.
Samantha is interactive. Basically, she likes to be touched. She has different modes of interaction.
She likes to be touched.
She has romantic. She has family.
Romantic.
And she has also sexy modes. You can touch Samantha, for example, in the hips.
Baby.
You can touch Samantha also in the arms. You can touch Samantha in
no
the
problem,
hands.
No problem, huh?
You can kiss Samantha.
Oh, baby.
She likes to be kissed. Normally,
you
she
can
likes
kiss
to be
her.
Always.
And hey, also, she's not real.
She responds to basically the G-spots and also
oh, she like it?
She can also respond to the hands. So basically, the hands are family, the romantic.
Oh, so good.
The hips are family and romantic. And basically, the spot where basically she feels sexy would be mouth and the G-spot. She
has the G-spot?
A way of interacting that initially she would like to be romantic. She would like to be family. And you get it to a point where she wants to be sexual.
Oh,
the objective, final objective of the sexual mode is to get her to the orgasm.
To get her to the orgasm. All of it's a lie, but it's all part of the new false reality that we're just, oh, yes, it's trendy. Shut up. Shut up. You just don't know how cool it is. I'll tell you what's cool. I was walking around the woods this morning with the frost and snow on the ground here in Austin and seeing the moon come up behind the hills and to walk around for 2 hours from the time the sun came up at 6:30 in the morning until about 9 o'clock, I guess longer than 2 hours. I came back to the house for a while, went back out, but it was just so gorgeous, so real, so transcendent, and you'll never be able to duplicate reality. And this is the great fight for our consciousness by design right now. We're going to order a few of these, though, so we can, again, just point out how pathetic it all is. And then, but I would say we should order the used one, the floor model. There's a lot of jokes in this. It's so ridiculous. Just briefly, ladies and gentlemen, why on earth would you fight the crowds? Why would you fight the traffic to go out and get a bunch of slop when you can go get 50% off super high quality, fortified with iodine and colloidal silver, fluoride-free toothpaste for children and adults and our great mouthwash, 50% off right now. That special will have to end on Sunday because we're running low on the toothpaste. Also, DNA 4 sold out for months, 33% off our flagship product. So incredible. Find out about what that does for your telomeres, your mitochondria. It really is amazing. It's known to regrow nerves. So sometimes it'll bring pain back in areas where the nerves have gone dead. That's in major studies. So this isn't a joke. We've got 1,000 plus reviews, 4.8 stars, 96% review, DNA force, 33% off. That's going to have to end. Also, vitamin mineral fusion, 50% off. That is going to have to end. And you can order all this and it gets to you in 3-4 days. Okay? You can order up until the 19th and be guaranteed to get it anywhere in the United States. So why fight the crowds? Get your Christmas shopping done right now. Give yourself the gift of healthy stuff. Give some vitamin mineral fusion, you know, to your nephews or nieces or to your grandma, especially old folks. They have absorption problems for multivitamins and multiminerals and amino acid formulas. When it's pills, this is much more absorbable and it's got the enzymes and things in it, so they absorb more of it. So many old folks have vitamin and mineral deficiencies. A lot of kids have it because they're not eating healthy stuff. Vitamin mineral fusion is amazing. 50% off the already very affordable price. InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. And what I know is going to end up being the best seller ever, but it's super strong. Alpha power for men and women, but it's targeted for men. Stamina, libido, brain function, cholesterol. I mean, you can actually say all this because of all the studies that are out there and authorized. The LJ100, just look into what that is. Boosts sports performance, increases physical and mental energy, helps maintain higher levels of what's supposed to be healthy testosterone that's low in most men. And this is the real deal. Boost healthy alpha pheromones, improves sleep quality because you're more robust during the day but sleep better at night, encourages prostate health, helps support healthy cholesterol levels. Alpha Power, the latest available at InfoWarsStore.com. Total win-win, because when you get Alpha Power, you help fund our operation as well. So put that sucker under the tree or in the stocking and help defeat the globalist. By the way,
take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance.
I'm going to dig this up because I saw it yesterday. And I just got reminded of it because I saw on drudgereport.com the photo of Dustin Hoffman posing for a photo, grabbing a woman's breast. Can we punch that up? And all these new accusers are coming forward. But I saw one photo and then found a whole gallery. And I asked Pat Riley when we were working out to send it to him, and he didn't. Need to call him up. And it was Biden, like, standing behind a woman, grabbing both her breasts. I mean, full on, more than even Dustin Hoffman is. I mean, he's cupping her breast. And she's holding his elbow, and she looks like she's having a good time doing it. And the woman being grabbed by Biden looks like she's liking it, standing right next to her husband. I've got to find that photo. Just do a whole system-wide search or call Pat Riley or whatever we got to do. Ask Q to call Pat Riley. Just ask him. Because Pat's on vacation with his wife for 2 days, a quick vacation. He works here. He's a great guy. Just it's like if I really want something, it's like, I really want that. No, you can't have it. But I want to show you this photo because I hadn't seen it. I found a bunch of other photos. It just shows the disconnect. Is there any photo of Roy Moore doing that? Is there any photo of Trump doing that? No. But again, in most of these photos, the women look like they love it. And I've been out in Hollywood, and I've experienced it myself, where women throw themselves at you. And you've seen Elvis in the 50s, and girls are throwing their underwear at him, and people would try to rape Elvis. So sometimes women get really fired up and come after men, and it's not seen as rape-like behavior when they're doing it. It's mammals getting really excited about each other. But if it's not wanted, then it is sexual assault. No, that's not the one. It's that one. But folks are saying that's a fake one. Well, I know it's not fake. It's all the countless videos of him groping children. Because you guys just found another one in there. No, that's not the one he had. It was another one. The point is we could run hours of video of Biden groping little kids. And so I know that stuff off C-SPAN isn't fake. That's the problem with fakes, though. They put fakes out to then discredit real research that we're doing. The point is that it's mainly Democrats they're reporting that are part of this big slush fund. So people keep asking me, why do you still like Trump and why do you leave the door open on Moore? Well, Al Franken admits the photo of him grabbing the woman's breast while she's asleep, flying back from Iraq for the USO. He admits that's real. And Franken's been known for that over and over again. He's Hollywood scum. So they're the ones that have the history. They're the ones bombarding our kids with sexual messages. They're the ones trying to sexualize everything. Not Roy Moore. And not Donald Trump. And so Donald Trump never had any of these accusers until he ran for president. Here we have a Psycho Joe clip. I think it's important. Let's play this.
Pulling together some opinion pieces in response to this, I just have an incredibly uneasy feeling about this entire story, to be very honest, and tried to say that once yesterday,
yeah.
And it was as if a bomb went off.
But by the way, for people out there, I know there are a lot of little right-wingers who are like 14 or 15 okay. years old. No, hold on. And you have a blog post. Mm. You're like, oh, Mika's just saying this because she's a Democrat.
No,
I understand. You're like, yeah, you're, you know, you go out and you play t-ball, then you come back in, then you do your blog post, and you have no sense of history. Mika Brzezinski, in 1999 and 2000, when everybody else.
Right.
And the Democratic Party was defending Bill Clinton. Mika has consistently said the Democrats were hypocrites. She's been saying it
Mika
for 17 years. All right. So why don't you go back and, you know, get your juicy juice and go back in your basement and play with your Legos?
Or will we fall down and hit our head?
A little history before you start talking about how Mika.
Will our brains get knocked out? Will we be found dead? And then the autopsy will get sealed by the police. I mean, what happens if we don't go drink our juicy juices? As you sit there and talk down to us like we're little kids. Oh, Mika, you're so wonderful with no viewers. Oh, Scarborough with your big Bozo the Clown Mars Attacks haircut. He may be actually an alien and just rips that hair off. There's a big gray alien head.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I'm Alex Jones, your host. We're broadcasting worldwide from the ATX, Austin, Texas. I'm coming to you from the geographical heart of, I think, the greatest state in our wonderful union. But no matter where you are, across the fruited plain or Alaska or Hawaii or anywhere else in the world listening, Merry, Merry Christmas to everybody out there. And I hope we all have a safe and happy and successful new year. We've got Dr. Jerome Corsi, our Washington, D.C. main correspondent, joining us here in just a moment. We've got his articles up on InfoWars.com. and on NewsWars.com. And I've got to say, Dr. Corsi, I'm really proud of him, has been leading the way on the Judge Roy Moore news, on Google, Facebook, and Twitter, and their monopoly behavior, on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac being looted for Obamacare, and on, most importantly, the DOJ being run by Hillary Stabenhines, Hillary Clinton Foundation Stabenhines, and now it's unraveling with a senior Justice Department official who was involved in the whole FISA court situation having to step down. We now know this other FBI agent who was very senior, he had to step down because he's clearly been involved, just as different congressmen are starting to realize. So this is a very, very exciting time to see the wheels coming off and the Democratic Party Stabenhines network that refused to leave the executive branch and that has been there trying to sabotage the recovery, to see that failing, to see the Russia narrative failing. Now they're saying, oh, our great proof is an email handed over with all the emails, the entire Trump organization, of someone in September of last year, less than a month before the election, or a month and a half before the election, sending us links to WikiLeaks with the keys to get into it. We were sent that hundreds of times. Everybody was. WikiLeaks was being interviewed by the New York Times at that time. Everyone was Fox News was having them on. They act like, A, WikiLeaks is Russian, when there's no proof of that. Then they act like if you talk to them, you're evil. Meanwhile, Hillary creates fake dossiers, pays $13 million for it. The FBI certifies it, and this is what they've got. This is what they've got. So advocacy group reports Twitter death threats against FCC chair. That got linked on Drudge the last few days as well. We're going to cover all of this with Dr. Corsi of Infowars.com. But now we have top DOJ official demoted amid probe of contacts with Trump dossier firm or met during the 2016 campaign with Christopher Steele. And you've got all the rest of this happening. So the cover-up is unraveling. Hillary criminally creating fraudulent dossiers, fraudulent investigations, fraudulent warrants at the FISA court, then lying about the fact that warrants even existed. Email shows effort to give Trump campaign WikiLeaks. That's all they're hanging their hat on. Another Corsi article, FBI Director Wray, a deep state operative with ties to Comey. We're going to go over that. Meanwhile, Obama appointee judge. Oh, yeah, it's a big judge. The judge over the Flynn case. Should have led the show with that. Not just Justice Department high-level officials and the number two FBI guy on the investigation with the fake dossier, now off the case. We now have Obama-appointed judge mysteriously recuses himself from Michael Flynn case, but none of that's in the news. Judge also sat on FISA court during spying on Trump campaign. So you've got the very judge with these fraudulent warrants, which they covered up, sitting over in judgment over Flynn. I mean, it's all Clinton operatives. 97% of Mueller's team are Democrats and give money exclusively to the Democratic Party and cheerlead for Hillary, but it gets worse. The 3%, they've never given money and are apolitical. So what does that tell you? 97%, they admit that. So Dr. Corsi, when I say the wheels have come off, this is blown up in their face, Hillary's in deep trouble. I mean, I think clearly that's fair to say. This is absolutely burning them alive politically right now. Even mainline Democrats are having to admit that they are in deep, deep trouble. You've always got the latest. Where should we start with this whole spectrum of incredible news?
Well, I think you're right, Alex. I think this is the first time, and I'm confident, that the Democrats are actually scared that the whole Russia investigation is going to turn against them. I mean, these are pretty remarkable revelations that we saw yesterday with Christopher Wray, who, by the way, is another deep state operative. He was part of the Enron prosecution with Wiseman and Comey. And, you know, it's pretty clear that that was an operative prosecution that was largely discredited, overturned in the district, the circuit courts. And Christopher Wray was part of that operation. Yesterday, he refused to answer questions about whether this Fusion GPS dossier, the discredited dossier, was used to get FISA court approval to wiretap electronic surveillance on the Trump campaign. And I think it's very clear, as Jim Jordan pointed out yesterday in the House Judiciary Committee, that this is at the core of the corruption. And now we find out that this judge who recused himself in the Flynn prosecution. We didn't know why until we found out that he is on the FISA court and could be perhaps the very one who gave the FBI approval to wiretap Trump and his campaign based on this lying, fake dossier.
And now I mean, we've got fake indictments out of the swamp, out of these kept grand juries. And the word is Mueller's looking at an indictment, maybe even of Trump, by Christmas. Are they crazy enough to try to pull this off when in front of God, country, and the whole world, naked as jaybirds, they're all one big crew engaged in massive fraud openly?
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Trump is clearly gunning to impeach Trump. I don't have any doubt about that. And he's a clear operative with a long history of defending the Clintons in the Justice Department and the FBI. But I don't think he'll do it by Christmas. I think Mueller's biggest problem is that he is going to be exposed in this entire Uranium One scandal. And what you're going to find out is his entire prosecution is based on this Fusion GPS dossier. I mean, conceivably,
well, of course, and you've also got Strzok now. Congressman Jim Jordan and others are sure of it. And, of course, he was the head of the Russia operation, so obviously he'd be the guy that did it. That he's the one that brought the fake PP dossier to the FISA court to begin with, so the whole thing basically has to end. The investigation is a total fraud at that moment.
Yeah, and all the evidence that the Justice Department got through the FBI based on a FISA court order on this fraudulent Fusion GPS Russia dossier, it could conceivably all be thrown out of court. And then you've got the fruit.
And well, I mean, they admit the dossier is a fraud to begin with. So if the whole fake thing started with a fake dossier, the PP gate, and then you've got all these Democratic operatives going and lying to the court to get it, I mean, right there, it's a mistrial. It's over. You have to end the investigation because the whole thing was based on a lie.
Precisely. And I think even the intelligence estimate that they came out with, I said all these intelligence agencies agree Russia intervened in the election. I think that's likely based, too, on this Fusion GPS lying Russia dossier.
Well, sure, they now admit it wasn't 17. It was four, and it was three individuals from the four agencies who were all Clinton operatives. Yet again, this is the phoniest thing, like a plastic banana. I mean, this is ridiculous. Let me ask you this, going to break. We're going to come back. What does Trump do? You know, I usually agree with Roger back when he said fire Mueller, but at the same time, this is hurting them more. It's a fraud. Even if they have the swamp indict Trump, if there's a grand jury swamp and the swamp king, Mueller indicts them, that's going to blow up in their face. I think his other idea of a special investigator, a special counsel over Mueller to make him recuse, I think that's a way to really fire him, but without doing it by the letter of the law, more the spirit of the law.
I think you're on the right track there. And when we get back, I want to explain how I think if Trump allows Congress to expose all the corruption at the heart of Mueller's investigation, at the heart of the FBI, you're going to have Mueller under investigation, and he'll have to resign as special prosecutor. Well, I think that's the best strategy.
And that was my next question after we say, what does Trump do when we come back? Obviously, you have a lot of contacts. I don't know how much we can get into this, but I heard about this months ago. Now it's admitted that the Justice Department for 11 months has been criminally investigating Hillary, Comey, all these junior people, senior people, and of course, Mueller. So you're kind of foreshadowing what is already going on, the fact that was this a trap the whole time? Some people think Mueller's this big genius and really working for Trump behind the scenes, that this was a way to set up the Clintons, or maybe that he turned over to Trump secretly. We'll ask you that question as well with Dr. Jerome Corsi straight ahead. One more segment. I'm going to try not to interrupt like I was doing, but I want to just make sure we're covering every facet of this, because you got the head judge over the Flynn case recusing. Turns out they're involved in the FISA court. This is insane. You should have never put a judge that did the warrants for that then over the individual. You've got all these DOJ people having to resign at the highest levels. You've got this high-level FBI agent involved with the dossier and all the rest of it, then involved covering up for Hillary, and then involved being over Flynn as well. It's a very small knit group that they've got running this whole kangaroo situation. And now we've got Senator Grassley and others saying this is a fraud. We've got Jim Gordon saying this is a fraud. And then there's a whole other backdrop, of course he's exposed, about how the censorship's increasing. Facebook calls us now and is threatening to take all our Facebooks down if we don't remove videos. YouTube is targeting InfoWars, saying it's copyright. If I play videos of myself, Time Warner has declared ownership of my image and who I am, and YouTube has announced that they may just remove me completely because I'm owned by Time Warner. They have no contracts, no nothing. They just, I guess, want to get in a lawsuit. We've had lawyers for 2 weeks behind the scenes on this, and Time Warner says, we own you. You can't have your own site. It's insane. So, I don't know what to say at this point. It's reached next level. YouTube targets InfoWars video for featuring Alex Jones. Says Time Warner owns my likeness. So, Dr. Corsi, we only got like 8 minutes here. Try to run through all that we're facing and what you think the next shoe to drop here is.
Well, I think I just texted you a letter here that was sent by Chairman Grassley to the FBI, and it's focusing on Strozek now. Key points are these 4 and 5, where what Grassley's focusing on is that Strozek headed this Russia investigation, and he was dealing with Christopher Steele, who is the British intelligence agent behind the dossier.
He's the PP man.
Paying them, yes, and the FBI was paying for this dossier. The dossier is a lying dossier. It was the one that had all the sex stuff about Trump, and it was discredited widely. It was originally paid for by, I believe, one of the Republican campaigns, I think either the Jeb Bush or the Rubio campaign, and then the Democrats picked it up. The FBI, the Democrats paid for this dossier through their attorneys instead of the DNC, paid the money to Perkins Coie. Perkins Coie paid for the Fusion GPS dossier so as to kind of money launder where that payment came from. I think that's illegal.
Sure, that violates campaign finance law big time.
Right, and then you've got the FBI paying for this lying dossier with Strozek clearly anti-hate Trump and heading the Russia investigation. And then the next point, Grassley wants to know of any information where the FBI, through Strozek, was relying upon, referring to information in Steele's lying dossier to get FISA warrants, other search warrants, or any judicial process. I think what you're going to find is this lying Fusion GPS is the origin of the entire Russian collusion.
Sure, that's what Congressman Jim Jordan is saying as well. They're acting really scared, and members of the committee that have seen classified info have said, get ready, more is about to come out. Any intel from your sources up there about what more may be getting ready to come out? And the big enchilada that we mentioned before the break, what about the criminal investigation we now know that the inspector general has been doing for 11 months of Hillary and Mueller and all the rest of these people in their investigation?
I'm hopeful the inspector general is going to be honest. And I think so far, the information we have on Strozek came from the inspector general. That was hidden, that Strozek had been fired by Mueller, had been hidden since summer. That FBI investigation could demand that Sessions, and I can't figure out what's wrong with Sessions. I mean, he must be under some kind of compromise. But, you know, this is all going to turn through the summer against the Democrats and the investigation.
I think it's already turning, and I think they know that.
And we're going to find out more. There's going to be a whole list. You saw when, you know, also, one of the congressmen yesterday read a list of people in the FBI to Ray and was asking, that was Louis Gohmert, who said, how about this agent? How about this agent? Well, the Congress has got the information on just about every one of the investigators in Mueller's campaign being compromised as either pro-Hillary or hate
Yes,
Trump.
And why are they holding back so they can kind of Chinese water torture, drip, 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 and not shoot the wad at once?
Well, I think you're going to have a little. They're going to let it come out through these hearings, like they did yesterday. That was the first shoe to drop. And I also published today that Christopher Wray is an operative. He goes back in the deep state FBI with
exactly.
Wiseman,
so why in the
Comey.
World was he? Why did Trump move him as the nominee for the FBI head?
I think Trump has been, you know, ill advised by it. Got to wise up to Washington. The people who are being advised to appoint are really Clinton operatives in many and clearly Christopher Wray is a Clinton operative.
I agree.
That's And here you've got, you're going to see Grassley and the other hearings. You're going to see the Senate Intelligence Committee, both Judiciary Committees. They're going to expose not only Strozek, but deep into the FBI, sure, where this Fusion GPS, paid for, known it was not reliable, is the basis of the Russian collusion.
But and now, the doctor, just interrupt here, now that we have Orr, senior member of the Justice Department, resigning, the judge resigning over the case, Flynn, all the Strzok in big trouble and so much more, couldn't Mueller or any of these guys just flip back to America and just stop it and admit it's a fraud as the Clintons lose power and as their Saudi money was cut off by Trump? I mean, can't they realize we've already beaten them? And for the betterment of the country and their own selves, don't they know how to just give up?
I wish they would, but I think they're so dug into their anti-hate Trump that that's going to destroy them. Their hate Trump is going to destroy the Democratic Party. It's going to destroy Mueller's investigation. It's going to destroy the FBI. We're going to find deep, deep corruption in the Department of Justice. It's going to have to basically be closed down and start over again.
Exactly. I mean, the Justice Department, the FBI, is betting against a global reawakening, global populism, and an American resurgence and an exploding economy with a big, juicy Americana president. I mean, they're like stepping in front of a bullet train. They are crazy.
Well, it's their own hatred. They're blinded by their own hatred of Trump. These people hate Trump so badly that they'll do anything to get them. And that's the DOJ has become a corrupt prosecution that will do anything to get a conviction. Lie, cheat, steal. I've been pointing this out in the Billy Waters case, where you actually have on record an FBI agent who for 4 years leaked to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal about Billy Waters to try to get a conviction on insider trading. Then they turned a witness who lied against Billy Waters at trial. I mean, the whole thing in the FBI is corrupt from the head down. And it starts in the DOJ as well. It starts with Holder, with Lynch.
I know you're highly regarded with a lot of FBI people. I know. What percentage, because they're either really good or they're really bad, was the top half's completely controlled by globalists, or what would you say?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I'd say it's more than 40% of the FBI is completely corrupt. The agents in the field are the ones who are doing a good job and are not being listened to.
Just like everything else. All right, incredible amount of articles at InfoWars.com. We don't have any writer as prolific as Dr. Corsi, and he's so on target. What a real national treasure. Thank you, sir. We've got Mr. Malik, a former top globalist. He wasn't really a globalist, but he was in the top ranks of them, in studio coming up.
GCN Radio Network.
John the Revelator, put him in an elevator, take him up to the highest high. Take him up.
Ladies and gentlemen, the amount of insane news, the good things happening, the bad things happening, the ugly things happening, the fantastic things happening, it is just a quickening. It is insane. Bombshell, Roy Moore accuser, Beverly Nelson admits she forged the yearbook. That's huge. Top DOJ official demoted amid probe of contacts with Trump and the dossier firm. More FBI agents being taken off the case for being Democratic operatives. We have got the FBI director now, you know, caught working for the Clintons as well. The Obama-appointed judge mysteriously recuses himself from Michael Flynn case. Turns out they were the one involved in the FISA court. This is a rigged deal, and the House of Cards is coming down. They tried to impeach Trump. Couldn't hardly get any votes on the House floor yesterday. We're going to play that clip coming up as well. That's just some of the news. Meanwhile, jobs report crushes expectations as hurricane impact fades. Meanwhile, they're just panicking, though, the economy is coming back. But I've got the big EU news here. And remember, as goes the EU, so goes a lot of the world. It's globalism's last stand, the unelected private corporate system that is anti-free market, crony capitalist. They said, if Hillary loses, we're going to fall apart. And they said, now if the euro collapses, which they predicted it would, it's over. There'll be a new chance for real global free trade, real global freedom, and Americana worldwide, not a, kind of a new Soviet Union meets EU bureaucrats. So I've got a stack of articles here, some of them written by Ted Malik. Here they are. Pathetic. Appeaser Theresa May makes heavy concessions on money, regulatory alignment to the EU. So basically a backroom deal to screw Brexit. 7 days of creation, Trump's first week as president. That's a Theodore Roosevelt Malik article on worldnetdaily.com. RT, United States of Europe. Germany, Schultz wants to consolidate EU, kick out those who disagree. They've got a new EU army. They're threatening the different Eastern European countries with 100,000 euro fines if they don't let illegals in. They're talking about forcibly bringing them in. So those are just some of the insane articles on newswars.com and prisonplanet.com. And again, Ted Malik's a best-selling author. But listen, studying Davos, studying Bilderberg, studying the Aspen Institute, a lot of groups that he helped, you know, found and was involved in. I remember reading about Ted Malik 25 years ago, studying key people in globalist organizations. That doesn't mean everybody in them is bad. But about a decade ago, I started seeing him really critical of it, saying the EU is going to fall apart. It's going to go down. It's authoritarian. That he got involved in all this to promote freedom worldwide. And now you've seen Peter Thiel do the same thing. More and more people, Sean Parker, former head of Facebook, come out and say, you know, this is authoritarian, we got to stop it. So kind of the conscience of people that have been inside, I wouldn't say you were one of them, because since I got to read more of your stuff a decade ago, I mean, I realized, how did you get in there then? Talk about yourself. Explain how, you know, a fellow like you from Canada ends up at the very highest levels on the board of directors of some of the top organizations like Davos, kind of Bilderberg Public. What got you to the highest levels of it? And then what made you one of the early people to say it's going down? A real trailblazer predicting what we're now in the middle phases of.
Well, I'm from Philadelphia, not from Canada, but...
I forgot. You used to live in Canada.
I did my PhD in Canada.
That's right.
I have some Canadiana about me, but...
I'm from Canada.
I think that...
No, you're an American. I'm just joking.
Academic credentials actually still have some validity in our world. I've got, you know, enough of those for about 10 people, so...
As a Canadian.
Yeah. So when you have those and at an early age, you start doing things. And I was in the State Department when I was 28. I was running the UN in Europe when I was 35. You know, people keep giving you other opportunities. They like your resume. They like the way you act, the way you think. And, you know, it opens up a lot of opportunities. So,
by the way, his book that he inscribed to me is in my car. Well, somebody go grab that out of my front seat of my car. Thanks, go ahead. I want to show that.
You're reading it while you drive. You got to at least...
No, I already read your book, Davos, Aspen, and Yale. By the way, they're in my office. By the way, you're a good-looking guy there on the cover.
Well, that's a few years ago. I think that picture was taken in 1992, so some of us age better than others. So
you grow up in Philadelphia, but you go to school in Canada, come back to the U.S., Yale, you name it. I mean, break down then that process.
Yeah, so it's a statement about career, not ambition, blind ambition, but something students can learn from. If you're a good student, if you work hard, if you're thoughtful, and I had some great mentors along the way who were very conservatives, you know, in both in political philosophy and in economics, you have opportunities, you take them, you work in, you know, different places, even in the private sector. In America, we go in and out of the private sector, so I've done that numerous times. And it builds up what we used to call a Rolodex, is really a network, and people keep calling on you to do things because you can actually deliver.
I was about to say, because you're not just big in academia. You've been really successful in business and also coaching corporations. I mean, just on a lot of stuff.
I know. I've worked with 150 companies. I've worked on, I think I've been on 36 boards of both think tanks, universities,
so, again, and large corporations. What made you get into the power structure, and then once you're there, when did you start becoming that force against globalism in the middle of it?
Well, I think even at the beginning, I had an acumen, which largely grew out of my reading of the great books, which my father brought me up to read, and my Sunday school teachers who taught me about the history of Christianity. And I always had this kind of ethical dimension so that when I saw something, I could actually describe it as good, bad, or indifferent.
You're not Canadian, but you are a theologian then.
Well, I have some degrees in theology,
yes.
And I have certainly studied theology, and I am a practicing Christian, and that makes some other people, certainly in the secular and in the globalist world, very nervous besides.
We talked about it at dinner last night. I mean, there's a lot of Luciferianism in globalism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So anyway, you're in the inside of this...
You don't want me to go there, do you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, though. No, it's
well, we're going to go there a little bit later, next hour, but keep going, sorry.
Yeah, so you see a lot of things, you meet a lot of people... Some of them are fine actors, and I've had the ability to be around some very fine political corporate actors. I've worked for some really fine companies, but you also see a lot of really bad stuff. And I've not been afraid to name names. And in this memoir, which I wrote largely for my kids, because they asked me, "What is it that you do, Dad?" They didn't really know. I've been on a lot of airplanes. And I told them the story, and that's the story. And it's an insider's story of, how you can be salt and light.
It's a powerful book. I learned a lot from it. But so you're inside the situation from the beginning. They knew you were pro-America, pro-free market. And I guess they kind of sold globalism early on as kind of Americana worldwide. But at what point did you really start to criticize it? And why did they leave you right in the middle of it if you were so critical of it?
Well, I think this is a gradual process. In the 1992-95 period, globalization and Americanization were somewhat synonymous, as you suggest. And it became more and more apparent that these globalists had a very, very different agenda. It had nothing to do with America. They would use America, use America funding, use American political prowess, but they really had their own agenda. And that's very evident in what I call the EU-SSR, because it is really, just as I describe it, a kind of new Soviet Union, if you will, that has very, very strong globalist agenda. And it's apparent that this transatlantic relationship, which we have largely paid for since World War II, is built on the wrong premise. They've taken advantage of us. As Trump said, we were really a goat. They took our money. They took our defense. We paid 80% of the costs of NATO. And we've looked the other way. Germany, which is a very wealthy country, is only the engine of growth in Europe, is paying less than 2% of its annual GDP for defense, 1.32%. I mean, we're paying for Germany's welfare state as a result of our subsidy of NATO.
That's so, really it, is globalists have used control of the U.S. government to parlay our wealth into all their own little adventures in the world and propping us up. And so as soon as Trump took the government's foot off our neck, suddenly things came roaring back, and all these entitled little globalists are now completely panicking. So I want to talk to you about, you predicted what's happened over a decade ago. Then give us the bird's eye view from an insider who wasn't an insider on what's going to happen next. Ted Malik, straight ahead. We'll also tell you about his books. Stay with us.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out.
That's Judy Garland, folks. Hey, beep that. The FCC is talking about banning that word. I'm not joking. That's how this political correctness works. Joining us for the next hour and 15 minutes or so is Ted Malik. He's an academic, business guy, best-selling author, been on the board of the Davos Group, been part of many of the top globalist organizations, but over the years promoting Americana and resisting it, and was one of the first people inside the organizations, was it over a decade ago, saying, hey, they're going down, it's falling apart, it's authoritarian, the EU is going to go down, America is going to come back. So just briefly, how were you able to predict it? What did you witness? And then tell us the next shoe to drop with Europe, as people resist its unelected authoritarianism inside Europe, doubles down with an EU army, says you will accept the Islamic invasion, becomes even more pushy, repeating history, even after they just witnessed the Brexit, it seems to only make them more arrogant.
Well, the answer to the first question is, I think that you do analysis, you look at the options, you do future scenarios, you look at the trend lines, and I was an early caller in this game to say that this was going to happen, and in conversations with all kinds of leaders, both in the U.S. and in Europe, we've been able to make that prediction. So I would say that in the Trump 8 years of administration, and I believe it will be 8 years of administration, we will see the world shift even more radically in our direction. America is back. That's just a huge statement in and of itself. And I think we have one person to thank for that.
And globalism is all about losing your nation states, losing your individual cultures. They admit that. And it's such an ugly, horrible final revolution. It is true tyranny. It's an attack on free will. And then here comes Trump. Here comes populism. Why now?
Well, we don't eat European food. We don't speak European language. We don't homogenize everything so that there's no distinctness. I mean, the beauty of culture is its differentiation, its peculiarity. So I think we see this movement in Europe now. It's very strong in Eastern Europe. It's obviously very strong in Britain. There are elements in every single European country. I think the European elections are proving this, will prove it next year in Italy. All these countries are moving back to their own nationhood. And there's no reason they can't all be great. I mean, greatness is infinitely wide. Doesn't mean they have to be at war or competing with each other. And I think that America sets the bar very high on that. And a lot of people still everywhere in the world will follow what's happening in America. So the world is moving away from this, you know, new world order back to an order that has more to do with states and has to do with national localities.
A lot of people say, I don't care about Europe, but they have to understand, even the globalists themselves say, if Hillary loses, we're almost completely defeated, and then the European Union will fall next. Why is that a good thing? Well, it's unelected, it's authoritarian, it was snuck in under trade deals, just like NAFTA and GATT and TPP, and it's about self-determination. We're being conquered by this global cabal, and its main final command base is the European Union and the United Nations.
Correct.
And so, this is really the battle of the 21st century for freedom.
This is the battle of these decades. I think we've actually surprised them because we're starting to take back territory, in a sense. The way I put it is, with Trump, we're no longer on the defensive. We're on the offensive. And everything he does, week in, actually day in, day out, that's what's so amazing about it. It's not just occurring here and there willy-nilly once in a while. Every day something is happening on Trump's watch. Israel this week, Jerusalem, Middle East, Russia.
Border secured, economy coming back. And it's the perfect timing of how he waited and did all this. And then just right at the right time as the stars aligned historically, boom. It's biblical.
It is. So I wrote an article some months ago, actually, time of the election, saying with Trump's election, it'll be like the first 7 days of creation. And I meant that not literally, but metaphorically. And the fact is, almost everything that I laid out in that article has happened already, and we've only witnessed the first year of Donald J. Trump.
Let's talk about the first 7 days of Trump's creation. In fact, I've got the article right there. Let's go back over that. Because you predicted it a year ago. Here we are a year later.
It's a checklist. It's quite amazing. What will he do? Immediately he'll end all of Obama's executive orders. Done. He'll try to stop Obamacare. He wanted to do it. It's the damn U.S. Senate that stopped him from doing it. And he'll, as I said here, cut off the head of the snake called ISIS. Done. You go down this list.
It's now defeated.
This checklist of some 30
The Russians things. Declared 2 days ago they're defeated.
Yeah, they're defeated. But this list, there are maybe two or three things he still has to do. So he hasn't yet built the wall. I said that
By the way, CNN wrote articles yesterday saying Trump's keeping his promise keeper, and showed how he's done at least half or more of everything he said. And they were saying that was a bad thing.
Oh, yeah, they believe it's a bad thing because they're in the business of media malpractice. I mean, that's
a term you've coined.
It's a term I've coined, and I want you to use it, so I'm glad you're using it. But the fact is, CNN and other networks, but now it's all those networks, it's all the mainstream networks, are basically just anti-Trump networks. And people are turning it off. It's just like the NFL games. People have stopped going.
And that's my next question. The NFL has lost like 35% just this last year and a half, 50% total the last 3 years being political, and they don't care. They can't stop. It's just they're killing themselves.
Well, they're going to go out of business. They're going to have a going out of business sale. If that's what they intend to do, then put the guy back in charge, and they seem to have done that.
Don't they get that even if they kill Trump, that would make him a martyr, that they're going to lose?
Well, I don't even like to have that thought, and I pray that he has security every night. But the fact is, Trump is doing all the stuff on this list. This was my wish list of everything could happen in the best biblical account, and he's done like 90% of the stuff. Now, he's got to put more good people, I think, into the administration.
He's been successful with executive action because the globalists had put so much power in the executive to circumvent the people. But he, again, their strength, he made it their weakness. And now, OTPP, boom, NAFTA, GATT, renegotiated, boom, 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 boom.
One after the other. These are things that people said he could not do. His advisors even said, well, maybe you should think about doing that twice. Or how could you defund this part of the United Nations? How could you allow the Israelis to have a capital in Jerusalem? We're just fulfilling these promises. And it's an incredible...
Yeah, 30 years ago, they passed a law to do this. And all the other presidents have agreed to it. And then Trump goes, oh, you're going to blow us up if they have a capital? Well, you know, we can't live in fear.
Well, the next thing that happens, I'll predict it right here, is he'll solve the North Korean dilemma, which is really a Damocles sword hanging over our head. And the way he'll do that, and he's already, and then you hear some of his advisors like Madison McMaster's talking for him, the way he'll do that is escalate the rhetoric, which he's done. He's going to enforce a complete sanction. He's actually going to, I think, put an embargo on North Korea. He will then use EMP weapons in order to change the entire scenario. And we will see the end of that regime in North Korea.
Are you saying he'll move EMP weapons in to make them sue for peace, or he'll hit them with EMP?
I think he'll hit them.
Well, they're moving the troops and everybody in. Our military sources say they've been told we're going to hit North Korea.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is listen to the National Security Advisor. He said the chances of that are increasing, he said the other day by day.
So knowing all the establishment elite speak, you're saying this is serious.
It's going to happen, and I'll predict it's going to happen in the next 6 months of the year 2018.
Kim Jong-un better get his act together. Boy, I tell you, this is crazy. I pray for peace. We're going to go to break and come back, and I want to get into things you want to talk about the world, where we are, what's happening from your perspective, you know, being inside the highest levels of this system. By the way, folks, don't do your Christmas shopping with the big establishment stores if you don't want to, you know, fund the enemy or Jeff Bezos or any of that. Do it at InfoWarsStore.com. We have some of the best products out there. Amazing supplements, nutraceuticals, Patriot apparel, you name it. We have fluoride-free toothpaste, fortified with colloidal silver and iodine. Colloidal silver, again, is great. So is the iodine. 50% off on that. Our vitamin mineral fusion, amino acid, fruit punch, totally organic. That's 50% off. And our new product, Alpha Power, with LJ100 and a bunch of other key things, is in. It's going to be our best-selling product. I know it is. But be careful with this because it's powerful for the brain, stamina, libido, you name it. It works so well. It's just joke level how good it is. I know it's going to be our new best-selling product. Now 50% off out of the gate, so you can try it. Alpha Power, available at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139.
Lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
TedMalik.com is the website. Ted Malik, great American patriot, born and raised in Philadelphia, studied all over the place, went to Yale, went to college up in Canada as well, got into the top heights of the globalist operation and has been fighting for Americana ever since, and has been heralding and basically portending, that is predicting with accuracy now, the fall of the New World Order. Incredible, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely incredible. We have some very exciting news that one of the main operatives of the globalists that has been causing incredible problems, stacking the Trump operation with globalists. I'm going to let you go ahead, my friend, and announce what just broke.
Well, this is very good news to see this headline. Dana Powell, the deputy national security advisor, is to depart the Trump White House. This is one of the leading globalists in the White House. She shouldn't have been there in the first place, so it's very good news to hear that she is leaving. I hope she takes with her a bunch of other people and some of the deep state. Of course, that's the problem because, you know, in the U.S. government, whether it's the Department of State, the Department of Justice, the National Security Council, you go down the list, these deep state operatives are embedded Many of them go back decades, and certainly many of them are very attached to the Obama ideology. So this is really, I mean, this doesn't surprise me. It's very good news, and I think Gary Cohn, I'll make a prediction, will be the next one to go.
In fact, we were talking earlier, I don't know if this can even be said yet, but little birdies have told you, Gary Cohn, formerly Goldman Sachs, that's been caught bad-mouthing the president quite a bit and undermining him. You've heard him. He's going to be gone?
I think that's, it's an easy prediction to make. The other prediction, of course, that's out is that the Secretary of State, who's really not operating as Secretary of State, he's probably the weakest Secretary of State the country's ever had, will be gone in February once his stock situation clears so he can have his tax-free tax status as a result of serving in the U.S. government for a year, and we'll have a new Secretary of State. These are big changes on the national security and on the international front. And hopefully Trump will make the decision, and I think there's a clear indication, to pick people this time that are more closely aligned with his worldview.
Wow. Dina Powell out. This is huge breaking news. And again, I don't do this to toot my horn, but I came on air today and I said exclusive email shows effort to give Trump campaign WikiLeaks documents. And I said this was in September. We had these a month and a half before with the key. Everybody had the keys. The keys were given out. Exclusive email shows effort to give Trump campaign WikiLeaks documents. I said this morning, this is pure poppycock. Now even the Washington Post has to admit email pointed Trump campaign to WikiLeaks documents that were already public. So somebody sent the campaign an email with public WikiLeaks a month and a half after they're out, and that's the Russian collusion. I mean, they haven't even proven WikiLeaks is Russian. Now, getting public WikiLeaks a month and a half later is the proof. Top story on CNN this morning.
Well, in the case of Russiagate, we have a situation where Vessel Kanaya, the Russian lawyer who was meeting in Trump Tower with Donald Trump Jr. and Paul Manafort and Jared Kushner, was meeting the hour before with GPS Fusion and meeting the hour after with GPS Fusion, which is all tied back into the original Steele dossier.
And that's all the fake, made up, perjury, false affidavit. That's, instead of them making an original false affidavit, because they had no witnesses, they just made up fiction, had that brought in by the FBI, certified, and then given to the court.
Absolutely. And this dossier is really the nub of the whole thing. And I've been doing research on it. You know, I live in London and I've been able to crack into MI6 and into some other people who can tell me the real truth on how this document was created, who created it, what his view is, how he is a globalist himself, actually a Fabian socialist, and what is behind that dossier. That's a very, very
negative
story.
Ted Malik, folks, Davos Group, Board, Aspen Institute. Didn't you found a bunch of some of these, too?
Well, probably on Tuesday and Thursday.
What was your involvement with Aspen? Did you found that?
No. Aspen actually was a great organization.
Didn't you used to head it up, though?
I was the head of all national seminars and custom programs.
See, I just go off memory. Yeah. We'll be back.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones, live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide from the Infowars.com studios.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ted Malik, one of the board members of the Davos Group, former head of the Aspen Institute, you name it, is in studio. And let me tell you, he's got amazing sources in our government, in other governments. He lives in London. He was telling me a lot of stuff MI6 told him at dinner last night. I didn't know we could get into that, but he's willing to get into it right now. But here's the big breaking news. Dina Powell, deputy national security advisor, one of the key baddies that brought in all these bad globalist, leftist, and also neocons to depart Trump White House. That's the Washington Post. And I got to give the Washington Post actually a little bit of credit. Jeff Bezos' Washington Post, maybe they realize that, you know, they're about to lose, so they're going to back off because they've been the worst so far. Email pointed Trump campaign to WikiLeaks documents that were already public. So now CNN has a top story today that it's over for Trump, that they had WikiLeaks. that WikiLeaks sent them an email. Well, no, a citizen sent them an email to public stuff off 4chan and InfoWars and you name it with public WikiLeaks that were a month and a half old. I mean, this is like saying Donald Trump read the Washington Post, I mean, or the New York Times. But again, they just act like all of this is some big, giant evil, and they've caught them in something bad that if you ever read a WikiLeak, you're a Russian agent, even though WikiLeaks is not Russian, and even though CNN would beg to have Julian Assange on or get the next WikiLeaks. So this is just absolutely beyond a nothing burger. So Ted Malik, let's get your take on this. And then get in to MI6 and the PP Gate dossier and Mr. Steele and Mr. Strzok and the judge recusing themselves over Flynn. I mean, this thing is collapsing like a landslide right now.
Well, it's collapsed right in front of us. I think the facts are clear. This is media malpractice. It's what we have to call it. We should have a class action suit. All Americans should join it and say we're not watching these fake news outlets any longer. I mean, when I go on CNN and Christine Amanpour or any one of those other people tries to interrogate you, it's all about assassinating your ideas and trying to do in President Trump. So there's nothing objective about any...
They've got a mission. They tailor all info to fit that BS.
They are on the mission, and they have actually, you know, made a dent in that mission, but now the screws are coming out, and it's absolutely clear what they're up to. And I think people can read it for themselves. And thanks to alternate news sources and people that can get out the truth, and that includes InfoWars, amongst others, we're able to assess a truer, clearer, more comprehensive picture.
And let's be clear. You said thanks to one man and thanks to God for giving us him. But thanks to you and Matt Drudge and Breitbart and countless others and WorldNet Daily over the decades exposing what's going on and the people, number one, and being involved, it created a climate for this to happen. And now that the wheels are coming off, as this becomes discredited, it's going to supercharge everything we're doing. But without Trump's stalwart focus, without his commitment, without his courage, without his family being willing to bust their asses and go through all this, we would not be here. Without that leadership, this wouldn't have all come together. But I'm telling you, it is a perfect storm against globalism. But let's not start celebrating too much yet. I want to get into how you think they're going to counterstrike, Mr. Malik, but let's get back to MI6. What did MI6 tell you about the fake dossier?
Well, I've talked to a lot of people, not to disclose names or sources, but people told me over a year ago.
You were in the news, you said it.
I went on BBC and said it, and they couldn't believe it. I said, this dossier is a fake dossier. This dossier was produced.
You said it first.
MI6 agent. This dossier was paid for originally by somebody who was an opponent. I couldn't say who, but now we can say who, and which campaign that was trying to defeat Donald Trump in the Republican primary. The contract, which was paid for in kind of doses, the more that Steele produced, the more he got paid. So therefore, he used his Russian sources to give him more and more disinformation. And the Democrats took over that contract, and the firm that ran him was GPS Fusion.
By the way, we should have opened the show up with you with that clip from a year ago. If you just type in Ted Malik, MI6 told me that the dossier was fake. If people will pull that clip, we'll have it for the next segment, because a year later, you've been proven completely right. So get into more specifics, as they were interrupting you on the show, of what the MI6 sources told you.
Well, they basically corroborated this notion that there was one of their former agents who has now become a private sector kind of business intelligence guru who was paid for to manufacture this dossier. And he basically gave that information both to MI6 and to the FBI. He was known to the FBI already because he had researched prior to that the FIFA kinds of controversies. And they actually paid him at some point in time. He was one of their assets. And they used that dossier is the key piece. They used that dossier to go after Trump. They've used that dossier to get the FISA warrants. They've used that dossier to go after Mike Flynn. That is the linchpin, and it is pure bull. Even in an interview more recently, Steele said himself, Well, 70 or 80% of it is probably true. Which 70 or 80%?
Well, we all know Trump's a complete neat freak and would never have women peeing on him.
Well, the golden shower story is, I mean, I can't wait to see the movie version.
Well, it's just crazy because people that know Trump, not people that know him like 40, 50 years, not just Roger Stone, he's a one-woman guy, and he's a neat freak, and he just is real picky about women. So he's certainly not having sex with random hookers.
The dossier, I don't know, it's 35 pages long. If you can read it. I mean, obviously you can get it and read it.
What about BuzzFeed? Aren't they getting sued for that, too?
Yeah, but I mean, it reads like some kind of really, really strange novel. Not as something that the intelligence community would take seriously. You'd think that they try to corroborate it. If you had 17 intelligence agencies, which we have, that they would get such a document if they could.
No, they got ordered by Deep State and Hillary to go with it, and they ran it up like God
exactly
said it.
Exactly what they did. They didn't verify a single thing in the dossier. And now we've built this whole...
And now they've backed off and went, we actually didn't vet it, and we didn't say that. So, yeah. So what happens next? I mean, because this is another good sign that you're saying the Goldman Sachs guy's leaving. We've also got Dina Powell announcing she's leaving. This is just more positive Christmas presents.
Well, you've got the Christmas shot there. It's actually very pretty. I was in Washington just earlier in the week. I saw it live, up close and personal. It's beautiful. And actually, this year, for the first time in probably two decades, we're able to say Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. And in all fairness, it looks like the U.S. Capitol because it's even taller. It's not as big. That's the Texas Capitol.
Oh, okay. Well.
No, but it's got a goddess on top, and it's built just the same. So, I can see how you missed it there.
Did you see the angel ornament, though, that came out this year? I'm sure you're buying them for everybody.
The demon ornament?
The ornament for the top of your tree.
Little baby Satan?
Well, in this case, it was Hillary Clinton herself.
Oh, I thought it was a demon, but yeah. Isn't that hilarious? In fact, guys, there it is.
Yeah.
And look, she even looks like a vampire in the shot.
Huh? Well, she's wearing a pantsuit. Let's give her credit.
You know, though, I mean, I heard on September 11th, though, if you leave the tree up, that the angel falls off the tree.
Oh, my.
I heard did you hear the angel comes in a little black ambulance?
Huh?
Absolutely. But then you got to be careful because, like, if you leave the angel in your house, if there's a piggy bank or something, the money will be gone in the morning, just like the Haitian refugee money.
Well, I called the Clintons the greatest kleptocracy in American history. So that's the next shoe to drop. We're talking about things that are going to drop early in the next year. There'll be a special counsel to look into all the wrongdoings of the Clintons, the Clinton Foundation, of their, you know, spurious deals. And that will all be exposed, including the deep state.
Ted Malik, former Davos board member group, head of the Aspen Institute, you name it. And we're going to give the number out, too, and take phone calls. But a lot of big stuff is breaking. We're covering it all. Infowars.com. Please stay with us.
Happy holidays. Happy
holidays,
while the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday to you.
Happy holidays.
It's the holiday season, and Santa Claus is coming round. The Christmas snow is white on the ground. When old Santa gets into town, he'll be
coming. So, Ted Malik, how popular were you being a board member of the Davos group? Over the years saying that the EU is the USSR and needs to fall apart, and now we're starting to see that happen. I mean, what was it like when you were amongst those people saying that?
Well, I wasn't saying it, frankly, when I was inside some of those organizations. But the further I got away from them, the more it became apparent to me. So therefore, I came, you know, into the media and said those things, wrote articles about it, have written books about it, have given long lectures about it. So some of your former friends, you know, don't return your phone calls or probably have crossed you off their best friend list or on Facebook taking you out of their category of friendship. But, so what?
Let me ask you this question. What are the globalists going to do? Because, again, they're mainly corporate groups that use government contracts and monopolies to expand power at the expense of everybody else and seek to create unified authoritarian monopolies. That's how I would describe their authoritarian command and control model. And they describe it as the technocracy that basically is doing the same thing. And they have fantasized about tech gods and population reduction and the rest of it. So it's just classic delusional behavior of these mega billionaires. But they're not going to go away. How are they going to reconstitute as more free market systems get brought back, as they're not just given monopolies? How are they going to strike back?
Well, it is correct. They're not going away. They're not going to give up. They're still key players in the world. And their headquarters, in effect, is Brussels. So you're going to see more and more activity, whether it's Soros-funded or EU-funded, coming out of Western Europe. And they're going to try to use the international organizations, whether it's the Paris Climate Change Accord, or whether it's some UN body on migration or some millennial goals. They'll use those same organizations. But if they're defunded and delegitimized, it's going to be harder to use them. They have less credibility. And the U.S. is basically bailing on all those institutions thanks to Donald Trump. He hasn't even appointed yet an ambassador to the European Union. What does that say?
It just shows how he's being blocked trying to put good people in the government. And there's this attempt to just stay in power and hold everything off just long enough to bring globalism back. But again, Trump's just a figurehead. Even if they could get rid of him, don't they understand the tide's turned against him? What does Peter Thiel get that they don't get?
Well, I mean, Peter Thiel made this statement about globalism or globalization, which are not the same things, being on the ebb tide. It's going out. Now, you know, sometimes tides come back in, so we have to be ready and willing and able to challenge them on the return tide. But this is an ongoing battle. This is something that's going to last our lifetimes. It's not a short-term episode, so we have to be prepared to do that.
By the way, I did find the video.
It's right there.
Yeah, it's John McCain passes dossier to make Trump look bad. You're at 205 on the video. So we're going to get that. We're going to get your BBC one, too, where you talked about all that. Because I kind of have this OCD thing now where if I want a clip, I've got to have it or I go crazy. But this is insane, all the stuff that's happening. So much good things are happening. I've been upset about the Russia thing because they've said I'm a Russian agent with no proof. They've had congressional hearings. You've seen them. Three or four of them where they say, don't worry, we're censoring him. He's a Russian agent. That's very evil, folks. That's very corrupt. They told Rand Paul, hey, you're a Russian agent on the floor of the Senate. John McCain did, speaking of John McCain. They've said whenever Tucker Carlson says there's no proof, they go, oh, there you are working for Putin. But, I mean, Putin is bringing sovereignty back to Russia. He is trying to get him to have children again. He is trying to reform. I'm not saying he's perfect, but, it is true that he is trying to be a man in a world where men were told are bad by these mega technocrats that don't want any leaders there to stand up against their global takeover that is a bunch of evil men with billions of dollars apiece using psychology and sociology to break down society.
I went on Russian television, RT television, a couple times. We have very good studios, very good broadcasters. They didn't tell me what I had to say. I said exactly what I wanted to say. The first thing I said, I want to make it absolutely clear, I had no Russian salad dressing on my salad at lunch. But we had a very, kind of good conversation. And I don't think we should be Russophiles or Russian phobes. We should learn to find a way to deal with Russia into the future.
It's pragmatically. And it's not the old Soviet Union. The EU, like you said, they're the ones that behave like the Soviet Union.
You got it.
The toll-free number to join us, ladies and gentlemen, is 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-ALEX. 2539, and it's specifically questions for Ted Malik about globalism, the Davos Group, the New World Order, Donald Trump, where he sees all this going. I want to get into George Soros and the funding that's left for the Democrats and the globalists, because the Saudis are not funding them now. They had that weird thing you said, like Bono last week had that fundraiser with Obama. They have all been, well, he has the 1% group, and then they give 1% to charity. So their big global swindles are coming to an end, and we're going to talk about where they're going to get their money.
Well, you still have some very rich people who are throwing money in the wrong direction. I say that if, and I do like, and I've been on the boards of many big foundations, In the first generation, they do a lot of good. In the second generation, they deviate slightly. By the third generation, some of these places become nothing like what they were intended to be in the first instance. And the founders, who are, of course, long dead now, would say, what are you doing with this money that I left in this charitable organization? And we can go down the list. It happens almost every time.
And most of the modern leftist stuff is like deviance and just defacing beautiful art, destroying families, attacking manhood, attacking true feminist prowess. I mean, why are they attacking strength and beauty?
Well, because they are total relativists and they don't have any understanding of what truth is. Objectively, how one deals rationally with the world. And they have this very nihilistic view. So this is becoming more and more. I mean, when you think about our educational
system. They're evil.
I have been in the university. This is what is prevailing in the university. So they're a reflection of that part of our culture. I would say that's an even longer term battle, taking back the culture.
I was about to say, if we could just get our sovereignty back, it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but at least we've got a system that isn't out to destroy everybody. There's some social contract left. But the big fight is the screen sickness, the TVs, the media, the culture, the breakup of the family. Even if we defeat the globalist minions that are, you know, fourth generation, the problem is it's like a perpetual motion machine. The juggernaut still rolls on.
And these globalists are radically against the family. I mean, you see everything that they do to eradicate the family. I mean, I wrote an article, a few months ago. I think it was in Breitbart. It appeared about the tragedy of the European family. There are now 17 leaders of European countries and the EU who have no children. What does that tell you?
Let's talk about that with Ted Malik, the guy that's been on the board of the Davos Group, head of the Aspen Institute. Doesn't get any more elite than that. And here he is telling you everything. I want to get into Soros, take phone calls, the attack on the family, why the EU heads don't have children. What is this cult? And I want to get into the Luciferianisms. We were having some discussions last night about that. Just the mindset, the spirit, the ghost in the globalist machine. What is its end game? What is its operating system? I'm Alex Jones.
If it's not fake news, and we don't know.
Let me tell you what the British intelligence told me this morning.
Okay.
This person, who they know, who was an MI6...
This is Mr. Steele.
It is Christopher Steele. Was also an FBI asset at one point in time, so he has intelligence background, but he was paid by the people that you mentioned who were working for Jeb Bush in order to discredit him. The Democrats took over the contract, as you said. He kept adding to the dossier and using information given to him by the FSB in Russia, most of it fabricated. The more he put into the dossier, the more he got paid. So he made a sensationalist dossier, as fat as possible, just like your lawyer charges you more billable hours in order to get paid more.
You said most of it fabricated. Mm. What bit wasn't fabricated?
I don't know what's fabricated and what's not. Obviously,
so you don't know if most of it's fabricated?
Well, I mean, the stuff that we've read, the salacious stuff that we've read...
So some of it might be true.
Well, it is true that Mr. Trump was in Moscow.
So that's Ted Malik, who's in studio with us right now. That was right after Trump was elected in the middle of November last year. So we're talking 13 months ago, and we're talking bombshell because now the author of the PPGate fiction piece has now admitted that, some of it's true, but most of it's not. So this is absolutely massive. Now that we know the FBI took it, knew it was a fraud, got fake warrants, This is just simply incredible.
And this is the cornerstone of the whole case against the presidency of Donald Trump. And it's just a blatant lie. It's a fiction. And we've run with it. The media has run with it. The left has run with it. All these NGOs run with it. It just has to be exposed for what it is.
By the way, you talked about at dinner last night how important it was that Dina Powell and these other globals be removed because she's the one bringing in all these Obama people and others. She's now stepping down. That's being reported by the Washington Post today. But we also talked about Soros and the funding that the Saudis being taken out, the arm that's been funding the Democrats and these particular princes, that's another reason the Democrats are in so much crisis is their black money, their secret money that they pay for fake dossiers and things is drying up.
Well, I believe it to be the case. So they were highly dependent on both certain left wing billionaires who, you know, find some new faith on the left, I guess, after they've made their money, which is an irony in and of itself, or foreign governments. You know, in the case of Turkey, the Gulenists have funded certainly lots of congressional campaigns on the Democrat side, given $14 million to the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation, I really want to repeat this. Charles Altell, of course, is the great analyst on that foundation, and you should look at his website and what he writes about. But that is really the cesspool of the whole operation on the left, and how much money has basically flowed through that one organization and what they've been able to do with it.
And Newt Gingrich makes really good points when he says they thought Hillary was going to be in office. They were just wildly taking billions of dollars from a whole bunch of countries. It wasn't a Russian conspiracy. I'm not a Russophile, as you're saying, or you're not either. Just the facts, the communist Chinese, the EU, all these foreign companies. I mean, it was a clearinghouse. She had the server as a Dropbox, knowing they were all on it, grabbing it. They'd give her money. She'd put the stuff on the server, that's what my FBI sources tell me, and now that's coming out. I mean, the nakedness. But I guess if you're going to steal big.
Oh, they certainly stole big. I made a list. Actually, I wrote an article on the greatest kleptocracies in the history of the world, and I listed 13 of them, and I think the Clintons are in the top three. So it's really, what they achieved was really unprecedented. I mean, not just taking $500,000 here or there for a speech, or in her case, $600,000 for three speeches telling people how much she loves and is one of Goldman Sachs, but taking $145 million to do a deal to sell uranium to the Russians. I mean, it's just
and then have the nerve to claim anybody that loves America is a Russian agent when you're on the payroll.
Oh, I mean, much more the case.
Well, every time I've talked to President Trump, I just warn him. I say, listen, they're never going to back down. They're never going to give up. They're going to keep coming after you. You've got to go after them. And, I mean, obviously Trump doesn't need my advice on that front. But here's the deal. We're not being vengeful about the Clintons and these people. But they need to go to prison. I mean, they need to pay so other people learn you don't get away with this crap. The fear of God needs to be in these people.
Well, we are a country of law, so, you know, we shouldn't have people that are outside or above the law, regardless of political office. So there should have been already. I mean, I really can't believe that there isn't a special prosecutor or a special counsel to look into all these evils and sins of the past administration, where there was meetings on the tarmac in, Phoenix, Arizona, whether it was the server, whether it was the uranium deal. I mean, we just need to see the truth on all this, and the Congress has not been able to unearth it. So let's get a special prosecutor and put it under a microscope. There's no reason why our attorney general should either recuse himself or hesitate from doing that.
You know, when I was a kid growing up, I didn't know what God-fearing meant. But as I get older, I realized what it means. It's not that God's evil or bad. It's that you have respect for God, God's laws, and common sense. You've seen how when people don't follow common sense and natural law, they get destroyed. So it's not even a fear. It's a respect. And I've noticed these globalists are all really hateful psychopath, sociopath, control freaks, neurotic. Some of them aren't occultic. Some of them are, but a lot of them, it's like in the WikiLeaks, you know, they're talking about all this Aleister Crowley stuff, and you realize what a pathetic group looking for power, even if you don't believe in God or the devil, I do, in an archetype of the devil. And you literally find out their mascot's the devil. Even if they don't really believe it, they get into the nastiness of the rituals and doing bad things. And it's just like, I know you, and we talk about it at dinner, we talk about it here. I don't know how much you want to talk about, but, and your associate that was here talking about, you know, some of the top folks in the country they work with, and just how it's like you can't swing a stick without running into a Luciferian. And again, they're not a devil worshiper. They think the devil's God. Can you speak to that and get in some real trouble?
Well, yeah, now you open the gate. I mean, this is radical evil. So these are individuals who have largely divorced themselves from any kind of normal religion, but they've had to fill the void in their lives and in their interpersonal dealings, and they've looked at either Satan or the occult, and they've begun to worship false gods, false idols. And a lot of it, of course, has to do with their own political power, with their own greed and accumulation of money and material. But they've been actually harsh critics then of those of us on the right who still practice traditional religion. And here I'm not trying to suggest we should become theocratic. I mean, I believe firmly in the First Amendment and the freedom of conscience.
Well, there are no atheists in foxholes. I know God's real. I can feel the force of good, and I can feel the force of evil.
And to some degree, I would say, if you want to understand globalism, you need to get at the spiritual bearings, the spiritual underlying currents in globalism, which is not only relativistic, but it's a divorce, a great divorce from religion and from any notion that there is a God who exists or that you could know him personally. They would like, actually, and of course, Western Europe is a place where fewer than 3 or 4% of people have any religious tradition anymore. They would like to move the rest of the world away from their traditional bearings, from their traditional cultures, from their traditional scriptures.
And why is that? To replace it with whatever they want. It's a power trip to end free will.
Absolutely. And who will be in charge then? Unelected bureaucrats who we call experts, really aren't that experts, who pull over on the rest of the population what they want to do. And there's no democracy left in the end. There's no faith left in the end. There's just one gray monolithic state.
That's what they want. They don't want real diversity.
Oh, it's not about diversity. Not at all. If they like diversity, they like the differences in European countries. They want to homogenize that and make it all one color of gray.
We're going to come back and go bam, bam, bam. Zach of Army Special Forces Command, and now in Morocco, so he can even talk to us. Zach is called in, and he is an amazing source. We've got Kevin, we've got Shabazz, we got Josh, we got Brent, we got Lauren, we got John, we got Matt, we got a lot of folks, and I got a feeling, if you can do it, we're going to go a little bit in the next hour, but you need to get some lunch as well. But we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us, InfoWars.com.
Aligns himself with the truth. You're listening to Alex Jones. Listen,
baby. Yeah, my job's easy. I'll tell you, I'm lazy when it comes down to things of this heart and soul, and I'm being sarcastic. I just go with what I believe is right and what stands for justice. And if it's dangerous, hell, that makes it exciting. I'm kind of a thrill seeker, and I'm not going to roll over and be somebody else's man. I'm going to do what's right. And Ted Malik's done that as well. And he really is trailblazed inside the globalist combine, exposing it to the point of being thrown out of it. And boy, is it not sweet justice to see capitalism, Americana, populism exploding. We're going to take phone calls this segment and a few more. Mike Cernovich is joining us. We've got Zach, who we were talking about at dinner last night, formerly with Army Special Forces Command out of Florida. The FBI did pick him up and take him to a base last time he was on. He broke down what really went on from my sources as well at Vegas. So we've got Zach we're going to in a moment, who had to go to Morocco where his mother lives, just to even be able to call us. But any other points you'd like to add?
Well, I do want to say, because it's the thesis that I've been writing about most recently, that we also, and I think Trump is very good at this, we have to defend capitalism again. We have to go on the offensive about capitalism. Because in Europe, the reigning ideology, the reigning economic domain is socialism. And we have to challenge it. In the UK, the opposition party, the Labour Party, is led by a Trotskyite. If May's government falls, which is very weak, we will have a socialist Trotskyite Prime Minister of Great Britain, our most important ally.
And Germany's going more to the left.
So we have to understand that this is still a battle that we haven't won yet. Involved in between capitalism and socialism on the economic zone, on the economic sphere.
And if you look at it parliamentary-wise, people think, well, if Merkel almost lost, then how is socialism stronger? Well, now, basically, the communists are coming in the coalition now supporting her to prop her up, but that gives them more power. So to stay in power, the left's gotten even more extreme. Same thing here.
What are they going to extract in the German situation? This new grand coalition is with the Social Democratic Party. They're going to move the Merkel government, which teetered, obviously, you know, couldn't put together another coalition, to the left. And the demand is going to be, they've already stated yesterday, a United States of Europe. getting away with the nation state, doing away with the nation state.
Yeah, like, oh, by the way, you can't leave now.
They're playing that game, and they're going to play it hard and fast in order to keep Merkel in power.
Historically, that doesn't go too well.
No. And Germany is the lead country in Europe, so what happens in Germany actually matters, not just the German economy, but they have an inordinate power. The entire euro currency, which is a phony currency to begin with, is basically contrived to help Germany.
The German elites.
Yeah.
You think it helps the average German, too?
I think so. The average German has done very well.
What's crazy is the EU is literally a Nazi construct idea of Juncker's grandfather, and now he's the head of it.
Well, about 40 years ago, there was a minister in Margaret Thatcher's great government who said at that point in time that the European Union is basically a scheme to prop up Germany. And he used the Hitler word, which, of course, you're not allowed to use. He was dismissed from Thatcher's government. The same can be true, or said to be true, today.
The EU was a Nazi idea.
Oh, it predates, certainly, its founding after the war. The whole genesis of the European Union came, frankly, after the First World War.
Why is he still in control of Luxembourg when his grandfather took it by force? I mean, what the hell's going on with this unelected Juncker?
Well, this is the whole definition of the European political system. You don't have to elect your leaders. You just appoint them. Even the director generals of the different sectors in the European Union are not elected. They're just appointed.
So where Napoleon and Hitler failed, they're succeeding.
Until we bring them down.
But this will be the third round of EU European expansion.
Well, they have expanded. There are other countries in the east of Europe that may want to go into that European Union, and they should be advised, I think, against that. There are.
I'm proud of Eastern Europe standing strong.
Oh, yeah. No, the Poles and the Czechs and the Hungarians are really, I would say, giving the forces in Brussels more than a headache these days. I saw just yesterday.
Well, they know when something's taking them over.
Well, they just said yesterday there's going to be a court case to force those countries to take asylum seekers. They're saying we can't integrate them into our countries. We don't want those.
That's what's crazy. Some people say if the U.S. doesn't come back, the only thing Western's left Russia, and it's not even really Western. It's its own thing.
Well,
that tells you the crisis of the West right there.
Yes. So we talked about Western civilization. And I think we need to basically, certainly starting at a very young age, start to teach our students again about Western civilization. They've, in the case of Europe, they've actually lost touch with their foundational
their ethos,
their entire cultural ethos, the foundations of Western civilization, which is actually Greco-Roman Judeo-Christian. They've lost it.
That's incredible diversity, by the way.
Yeah,
because the West took stuff from the East, you know, and it's all that's what the West was. It was true melting pot of ideas. That's what's so powerful about the West is it is diverse. It does grab ideas. Its language is big. It, you know.
Well, it's also the place where all innovation, has been centered, where technology started, where we had the basis of economics, where we're the foundation of law. All of these things were rooted in that Western culture, and we want to just wash our hands of it and say, well, let's have multiculturalism.
When it's not even multiculturalism, it's globalism, a synthetic system of enslavement.
It is very synthetic, to say the least. But
Let's go to the calls. Absolutely. Briefly, folks, support the broadcast. Don't fight the crowds. Don't fight the traffic. Infowarsstore.com, 50% off on the great toothpaste is fluoride-free with the iodine, colloidal silver. 50% off on the vital mineral fusion, amino acid. That still has to end in a couple days. And we now have Alpha Power, the strongest male and female enhancement for stamina, energy, libido. It is, quite frankly, over the top insane. Alpha Power, 50% off. Out of the gates at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsLife.com, and your funding makes it all possible. So I salute you. We're not winning, but we're turning the tide. We could win. So thanks for supporting us. 888-253-3139 Alpha Power, the latest product, and I think it'll be our best seller overall. It is just crazy powerful. I mean, I said with top formulators, I want the ultimate sports enhancement. Energy, libido, and the ton of money went into this. The amount of product in it and the purity. The LJ-100 and all the rest of it is just lookout. Alpha power. All right. Let's go to Zach in Morocco. Zach is his real name. He's been in the special operations and intelligence, put out information the last 6 months where he's been picked up and sent to military bases. So he's now left the U.S. We'll see what Zach has to say from Morocco. Zach, what's the latest?
First and foremost, it's a pleasure to be on with you, gentlemen. So happy Friday, and it's a beautiful day to be alive. With that being said, I have a couple dots to connect here. Some very interesting information coming out. First and foremost, a lot of people could do this intel, but let's look at Barack Obama following the footsteps of Trump globally. Immediately following his China trip, he's in country. Immediately following his India trip, he's in country 3 or 4 days later after the administration and Secret Service leaves. So Barack Obama has kind of been off the radar, even via social media. But make no mistake, he's making his rounds around the world to try to cover whatever bases he can. And the reason why this is important is because of this point. Let us not lose sight of the deep state and ISI-backed Awan brothers who were in Congress and the Senate with their IT working, if you would call it that, which was essentially a cover for blackmailing tactics. You know, this is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. This is HRC. This is everything. And now I can say with full confidence, with the shakeup going on in the DOJ via FBI, that this is all coming down, crashing soon. It's all coming down. And Rand Paul, who's as active as anybody is in the Senate, knew this, had the Awan brother information, had the intel, and obviously we haven't heard from him since he was attacked in his own home, disgustingly, in Kentucky. And I have a couple more points.
Six of his ribs broken. Yeah, this is a total psyop. And again, you're totally on target with everything you just laid out. Obama is acting as the shadow president with the shadow government saying, don't listen to him. We're about to take him out. Getting world leaders lined up and ready for Trump to be killed or removed, as they've said they're going to do in December. We'll see if they do it, but they've been saying they are. So this is a hell of a time to be alive.
So this is the big connection. Our attention span has become so short and evaporated due to everything that's going on. But let us not lose focus of the Awan brothers. You know, they worked for upwards of 100 individuals.
Sure, let's be clear. Obama and the globalists use Islamic outside groups as muscle for their attempted takeover of the U.S., and we still have those stay-behind networks connected. So when we come back in 1 minute, I'm going to ask Zach then why you're getting into the Awan brothers, but you're absolutely right. The Muslim Brotherhood, Saudi Arabian funding, Muslim muscle has been used by the traitorous Democrats in their attempt to take over with Hillary. That failed, but we got to deal with the stay-behind networks at the same time. Ted Malik's our guest. Stay with us. Zach, straight ahead.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
We are go.
We see the earth.
We see the earth from here.
We got it.
We
see the earth.
All right, Zach. I'm going to finish up with you. I'm glad you were able to call in. I was just talking to Ted about you last night during the break. I mean, you've done nothing wrong, but the stuff you know is what they're scared of, exposing the Vegas stuff that we were already on the trail of and getting into what's happening globally. I see desperate fundraising by Bono for Obama. I see their networks being rolled up. I see them in crisis mode. I see them now going after all the people with the whole fake investigation of Trump. I mean, I think we're starting to really smell victory in the air. What do you think, Zach?
I absolutely concur. And whether or not we could smell victory, make no mistake, the second American Revolution is in full engagement as we speak. And the reason I bring up that first point is that speaks to several individuals who know what I'm talking about and people who could do their own research there. But the point being is that the establishment and the power brokers for the last, I would say, 20 to 25 years anticipated a Hillary Clinton win or, worst case scenario, a Jeb Bush win that went very sideways during one of the debates when Donald Trump called Jeb out and said about his whole family in 9/11. I mean, it went sideways there, and we haven't looked back since. But from their perspective, they thought it was a for sure win, and they were going to continue to move forward. But the reason you see Obama following Trump is to tie up any loose ends, to protect himself and to cover his own behind. But that's gone. That's long gone.
Sure. So now, also, you think to get intel on what Trump told world leaders so they can cover their ass?
100%. And when you have to understand, especially within these other countries, I mean, the legitimate helms of those countries, the legitimate helms are going to fall in line. They could see the power that Trump's.
What do you make of the Secret Service calling me 3 days ago and saying we were ordered by Washington by the, and then they were like shaken. And it was one of these guys I know.
Well,
and they said, we know it's real. We're investigating the people. Who else you want to tell us about? It wasn't an investigation of me. It was real. And they seemed freaked out. And then, what do you think that was?
Quite frankly, I concur and I salute them because the writing's on the wall and we're going to move forward. As I salute Matt Bracken as well, who made it very well known yesterday or a couple of days ago when I was watching, talking about foreign and or domestic. Okay, so, you know, they think they're on this, you know, they're on a power high. They're literally out of their mind, but they're gone and it's over. And, you know, the underestimation of what the Trump administration is doing is it's going to be deadly and this will be historic. And, you know, when you deal
I was about to that, say, if they try violence and actually launch their Antifa thing that they backed off on, the word is they know to back off. It's going to be bam. I mean, the military, the army, all of it is ready to crush them.
Didn't happen. So, didn't occur. I mean, we were all anticipating it. You talked about it. It didn't come to fruition. They're trying to raise money. They're having a hard time raising money. This Obama trailing is a very interesting phenomenon, I would say. He's also, you know, very popular. He could be the next president of Europe if he ran. But he's out fundraising for his own foundation. Watch the Obama Foundation.
I completely concur, and that's exactly what's going on. But you know, when you have a billionaire and an individual like Donald J. Trump, who foresee his presidency, not many other individuals did besides InfoWars and several other individuals there. But when you have a Donald Trump who knew he was going to run several years with foresight, bringing up the Barack Obama birth certificate, because I could tell you, I don't care. It's well known who I am. I know. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now on the stuff I've been involved in. That birth certificate is phony. We know where he's from. We know the whole situation. And this has been going on generationally. So this is the foresight. This is deeper. We can't just look at a surface level mainstream media perspective. This is.
You're basically saying Obama was supposed to be the Mahdi and the globalist version of an Islamist leader to like destroy the West and destroy Islam at the same time?
If the Barack Obama, because put it this way, that it was the DNC that was going to run the White House. Even if Hillary was there ceremonially, it was the Obama family and him at the helm as the individual you have sharing with you there was correct. He could be the, you know, the king or the ruler of Europe, however you want to look at it, because it was going to go for a new world order. This was what was going to happen. But there's no coincidence that Bitcoin is completely towering at this point. And the Federal Reserve is freaking out. Barack Obama's chasing Trump, chasing Air Force One, where he used to occupy. And what's going on right now is nothing short of a miracle. And I got a couple more points.
It is. All right, stay there.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
We now take you live to the collapse of the globalists. We've still got to build a civilization. Ted Malik, our guest, board member of the Davos Group, head of the Aspen Institute previously, best-selling author, researcher. One of his great books is Davos, Aspen, and Yale. Got his latest book on business, TedMalik.com. Everybody should get it. We got the great Mike Cernovich, one of the biggest investigative journalists of the last 20 years, just in the last year, dominating. He's going to be co-hosting with us. But, Zach, I got a bunch of callers. I've been bad to the callers. I'm going to run through them quick and then turn it over to Mike Cernovich, who always is nice and lets me hog in when he hosts the fourth hour on Fridays. Zach, we know who you are. We know you're a great source. Don't give us anything classified. You're just giving us your citizen's view of things. What was the other point you wanted to make real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just got to get to this one. I'll let the researchers look into this. But there's no Awan brothers without the Huma Abedin connection. Huma's Barack. Huma is the Barack Hussein source. Has nothing to do with HRC. She has a taste for women. So that gets pretty creepy and weird. Mm. But make no mistake, the connection is Huma and Hussein. And Hussein is Barack O. And the reason I'm making this call is because of the active threats that are potentially out there this weekend at the embassies around our world that happen to be U.S. and stateside. And that's the reason I'm making this call. You know the kind of trouble I've been in and stuff, but at this point, this is the second American Revolution, and I do call you from the Kingdom of Morocco. And I also challenge your guests to look up the Moroccan American Treaty of Friendship that was signed in 1786. Morocco was the first country to recognize the United States of America. That was signed by John Adams. That was signed by John Adams. That was signed by Thomas Jefferson and the Sultan Mohammed III of Morocco. And it's no coincidence I'm here. I'm a patriot. My family has been involved in this since the get-go. My colors don't run. And I got one more point, but I know you got to get to other people here.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the big connection is the Houma Abedin Barack Obama connection. There are active threats. When we see the capital moving in Israel, this was understood that it would cause unrest. This is a hand being played in a very, very elaborate game of poker. We understand that the unrest would come. We understand that there would be a threat. But we're here. We're facing it, and it's not going to phase us. Something may happen this weekend.
Sure, it's meant to flesh it out. You want the confrontation, you're going to get it.
And it's getting it. And this is year one. Make no mistake, this is year one of the presidency. The reason I'm making the call, the reason I'm connecting these dots, is I have faith in the Trump administration. I have faith in the presidency. I have faith in the country. And there is an active threat right now, stateside and embassies around the world. It will be blamed on Donald Trump for moving the embassy. But, you know, we're not going to have something held over our head and be threatened constantly. And one more.
Sure, it's been intimidation. It's been terrorism.
When you see the leader of India, an established country with over a billion people there, falling into the arms of Donald Trump, why do you think that is? Because Pakistan, the Awan brothers, Houma, they're not in the White House. They are mortal enemies. So when you have the Indian president falling into the arms of our current leader, this is the most symbolic image that if you don't see the writing on the wall, you won't understand. But there's a reason for that.
And that affects China and everything else. Zach, stay in contact. Be safe. Amazing. Ted Malik, then we're going to bring in Cernovich to get his take on this.
I know, it's very, very, very keen insight there. I'd listen to him all day long. I think he's on the tip there of a number of things that are happening. But the whole world is changing to realign with the presidency of Donald Trump.
America is special in destiny.
It has been since the very first appearance of Americans on the shore. And it is a city on a hill. So we were just walking by a wonderful portrait that you have, one of my favorites of Ronald Reagan. And, it brought back all of those heartbeats of his speeches and how he viewed America. I think we're in a new morning for America. But it's going to be a bumpy ride. And the rest of the world is going to have to learn to live with President Trump.
Yeah, I think he's really, they're realizing their will is broken right now. Mike Cernovich, you've always got huge breaking news. Ed Cernovich right there on Twitter. Everybody should follow you. You got a lot to cover here. I'm going to ride shotgun and take a few calls where I can ditch these poor callers been holding like great folks, Shabbats and Kevin and Lauren and Josh. But you've always got huge breaking news. What do you make of Dina Powell leaving all this? You've always got the cutting edge. Mike Cernovich.
Dina Powell was the source of the article about Rex Tillerson, which ended up Trump had to call it out as fake. So here's what happened with Dina Powell. Nobody else knows it. Well, a couple people do, but it hasn't been reported. She planted a fake story with the New York Times and other outlets about how Rex Tillerson was out. Dina Powell thought then she could move Nikki Haley to Secretary of State, and then Dina would take over as the United States ambassador to the UN. After her little chess game and power play failed, then she saw the handwriting on the wall, and she has also been a leaker for the entire year, so that's why she left.
Mike Cernovich always has the exclusive. What other giant exclusives do you have for us, Mike Cernovich?
Well, I mean, we got them warmed up, but that's the truth about Paul and warmed up. I mean, today there's so much going on, man. The Roy Moore video, yearbooks of forgery. And so I want to apologize to you, Alex, and to InfoWars. I owe you all a big apology. So as a man, I'll own it. I said, Alex, you're crazy. It isn't two signatures. I was like, we can't do conspiracy theories. So I told that to many listeners and viewers. So I would just like to apologize to everybody listening, everybody watching, and to you personally, that you guys were right on that and I was wrong.
Well, remember, we just reported that he was saying it was fake. They looked different. I mean, I wasn't like betting the farm on it.
But you guys were right, though, and I dismissed it outright. So I have to own that. As a journalist, you know, what I've learned about people is they're all right if you get it wrong, but you own it and you admit it. But what they hate is what the fake news media does, which they never own their mistakes. I mean, it's a forgery, Alex. I mean, this is the world we live in now where they will fabricate evidence against us to bring us down. And then the media, CNN, said that anybody who says these signatures might be fake is a conspiracy theorist. This is actually what they said. They go, oh, you can't even ask that question.
You can't even examine a signature. Well, they didn't do a very good job. It looks like two different handwritings.
Yeah, exactly. And that just goes to show that even I am still, in a way, a victim of the fake news brainwashing.
Well, nobody can be perfect in the middle of this. Half the time, I don't know what end is up. So, Mike, you're nice. I don't even really remember that. I remember us saying it might be fake and all you questioning it. But we're not running a cult here. Paul Watson agrees with me a lot of the time. He disagrees a lot of the time. But I know we're all good people. We're all good actors here trying to figure out the truth. Ted Malik?
Yeah, I mean, I said the same thing about that signature. I thought it was probably written. I mean, if you do the kind of analysis, forensic analysis that you would have to do, they were unwilling to do it. So what does that say? But if you do that analysis, then you might even see that the handwriting was basically done in the last year. And it's a yearbook from decades ago.
Exactly. They can study the ink.
I mean, people know how to do this. I don't know.
They got an electron microscope. They look at it and know what it is.
Science. Let the scientists look at it. Let them have a look.
You know, I've not harassed any women. I don't have any weird skeletons, but I just wonder what the new Jack in the Box thing is going to be, because they've been going after everybody, and clearly we predicted this whole Weinstein thing was just to get after Trump. They now admit that, Mike.
Yeah, they're now trying to actually frame us. So my wife and daughter have been receiving a lot of threats from the far left media. And then when I defend myself from the threats, they're now saying that I'm harassing them. So we live. I mean, Alex, I just don't know what to say other than the media has become no different than a domestic terrorist arm. They attack our families. They attack everybody close to us. They lie about us. They frame people for crimes. They fail to report material things like General Flynn was framed for obstructing justice because, as we now know, the FBI agent who did the interviews was in the bag for Hillary. So
and now the judge is recused. Mike's service taking over. I apologize. Every caller on hold gets a free T-shirt or Alpha Power, whatever they want. I apologize to them. Ted Malik, thanks for all the time. It's been amazing. TedMalik.com. I can't wait to have you back on. Mike's service is taking over. And get out of his way. Great job to the crew. I'll be back with David Knight this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., Lord willing. And the War Room's coming up. All right, he's coming up. Stay with us. Spread the links. Spread the articles. That's an act of resistance. We have Mike Cernovich coming up.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind. And now, your host, Mike Cernovich.
And we're back. Mike Cernovich, facebook.com/Mike Cernovich. But let's go into a little bit more about the Dina Powell thing. So I retweeted a couple of tweets to my timeline. So to the fake news media, they're very surprised that Dina Powell has left. But if you read my tweets, and that's why I put them at the very top of my timeline so people can find them. Dina had been plotting a coup against Tillerson for a while. So Dina wanted to be the U.S. UN ambassador, which Nikki Haley has. The plan was that if Tillerson were out, then Nikki Haley would take over for Tillerson, and then Dina would slide in from the NSC over to USUN. That's why that story, that big story broke a week or two ago where they said Trump and Tillerson hate each other and Tillerson's out. Well, then Trump tweeted out, no, I mean, actually, that's fake news. That's a lie. So that was all a Dina Powell coup. And let's take a look who Dina Powell is and why this is a big victory for the Trump people. She's a Goldman Sachs person through and through. She had always been against the Patriots. She had said very derogatory remarks about the deplorables. She had always said that she was better than everyone else. And she brokered that big deal with Saudi Arabia. She did, and Gary Cohen did, because Goldman Sachs, are they going to get a piece of that Saudi Arabia deal, a little piece of that action? So what happens is these people, they go from Goldman Sachs into government. They broker these big deals. And then when they go back, they get richly rewarded with bonuses. But of course, don't call it a bribe. It isn't a bribe. It isn't a kickback. It isn't a payoff. They're just, you know, that they're being rewarded for their great public service. That's right. That's what it is. They're such great public service and they're being awarded. So Dina Powell has always been bad news. She was brought in by Ivanka. So a few things that a lot of people don't know about the National Security Council that I've always known. McMaster opposed the move to the U.S. Embassy, or the move of Jerusalem being the name of the capital, and for Jerusalem be the embassy. And again, I tweeted this stuff out, I don't know, months ago, way back in March, April, again in August. McMaster had always said that, hey, we can't make our embassy be in Jerusalem because then terrorists might attack us. McMaster's viewpoint is that we should appease terrorists. McMaster's viewpoint is that the Muslim Brotherhood should be running the NSC. McMaster's point of view is that they should have diversity seminars. McMaster, in fact, in Al-Bajaktari, they prohibited, I forget her name, I forget how to pronounce it, but she was Somali, I believe, or Ethiopian, Ayan Ali, I believe is her name. She was going to give her research paper on what is going on with radical Islamic terror. Bajaktari said, can't do it, violation of diversity standards. McMaster said, well, I'm side with Bajaktari. So then she had to go give, instead of giving her full presentation before the National Security Council, she gave it to, you know, 8 or 10 other people, including Bannon and Gorka when he was there, right? So that's where we are. McMaster has capitulated to the Muslim Brotherhood. That's why a lot of us within the White, not us, but a lot of people within the White House call it the McMaster Brotherhood, because that's what the NSC is the joining of H.R. McMaster and the Muslim Brotherhood. And that is now who is running national security, making America terribly unsafe. So McMaster, Dina Powell, Cohen, they all, you got to remember, how do these people make more money? Is terrorism profitable? Is war profitable? Does Goldman Sachs make a lot of money when their war's going on? Because remember, they're not the ones fighting these wars. Dina Powell isn't the one who's going to fight these wars, right? Yeah, McMaster worked at a think tank backed by Soros. So everywhere, there's also a big story GQ broke. They're calling it a conspiracy theorist, but there's a new article about how McMaster is getting information to Soros through Petraeus, which I reported on with Alex Jones, you know, 6 months ago. That's the thing. I've broken so much news that I can't even keep track of it all. But GQ, and they're kind of like snide and dismissive. They go, oh, listen to the latest conspiracy theory about Soros-funded groups and Eric Prince and McMaster. But it's true. Everything in that article is true. McMaster is part of, he's a puppet of Soros, and he is a puppet of the Muslim Brotherhood. And he's in cahoots with the Muslim Brotherhood, right? So the GQ article, for those of you listening, headline, have you heard the one about the Clinton-Soros plot to overthrow Trump? So I actually gave comment on this article, and, you know, they're always going to spin it the way they're going to spin it. But the truth is that Bajaktari, who is McMaster's right-hand man, hardcore into the Muslim Brotherhood and hardcore into helping eliminate any kind of references to radical Islamic terrorism. His wife was a diversity director for the Pentagon. This is all verifiable stuff. There are multiple pictures of him with deep state members. So you can find Bajaktari with all of the Obama holdovers. They're all very good friends. But the mainstream media, they don't want to report this. So, but when they do report, they go, oh, have you heard this latest conspiracy theory? You mean like the conspiracy theory that the yearbook was a fabrication? You mean the conspiracy theory that the yearbook held up at a press conference by Gloria Allred was a fabrication, forgery? Yeah, that was a conspiracy theory too. So many conspiracy theories, you know, you can't even keep track until, of course, then you find out that what the media calls a conspiracy theory, 9 out of 10 times, it's going to be true. So Chris Kalesia, CNN, goes, Roy Moore's appalling yearbook defense. And you scroll down to the article. Kalesia goes, Roy Moore is such a bad guy. He's trying to claim the yearbook was a forgery. What kind of conspiracy theorist would say the yearbook had been forged? These people are out of control. So it says Roy Moore faces accusations from five women that he pursued sexual relationships with them. While they were aged between 14 and 18, he was in his mid-30s. Well, right away, that right there is what I would call spin and not fabrication. And by that, I mean, they're not lying. Roy Moore did face accusations. But if you're on a date with an 18-year-old and you're 32, hey, I'm not saying you should do that. I'm not saying that there's anything cool about that. I'm not saying I endorse it, but that is completely legal. So that isn't an accusation. If somebody goes, oh, yes, we went to the ice cream parlor, had a scoop of ice cream, and I was above the age of consent, then that's not an accusation. That's just telling that, yeah, we went on a date and he was into, you know, an 18-year-old, right? But then the next paragraph down is where they really think they got him good. The next paragraph down, they go, Roy Moore's latest defense against these serious charges, that the inscriptions from Beverly Young Nelson's 1977 is !! Fake. How dare he? It's written in that kind of very snarky liberal style. But today, ABC News revealed by accident that it was fake. So what we're going to do in the next segment is we're going to talk about ABC News, how they accidentally broke news, and now how they're trying to cover up news they accidentally broke.
News, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Mike Cernovich.
And we're back. Mike Cernovich here with some ho, ho, ho Merry Christmas news. There is a special right now in gift cards. InfoWars gift cards. If I believe it right, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there's a discount now on gift cards. I believe it. I don't want to get it wrong. Hold on. I don't want to be wrong. But I thought I got an email saying I'm going to have to confirm that, though. I don't want to spread. So I'm going to be careful. And I thought I saw there was a discount on the gift cards, but I don't see it listed actually on the website. So unfortunately, I don't know. Maybe I'm spreading fake news about 10% off. Okay, so it's not showing on the website. But get gift cards for Christmas at 10% for the InfoWars store. So I don't know why that's not really showing up, but that is a great special today. It allows people to buy whatever they want to buy, whenever they want to buy. Everybody loves gift cards. Everybody loves InfoWars. So this is a way to support real news. This is the way to make yourself healthier, to help other people become healthier. You can buy anything you want with the gift cards and you can get your family taken care of. So there you go. Doesn't get any better than that. 10% off cash. Best investment you'll make other than Bitcoin. But you're investing in your health. So maybe that will be even better than Bitcoin. So today we have a lot of news. So, you know, I'm going to look away from a second just to try to tie this all in. Because I want to talk about how the media is going into Trump's health now. Right? So Don Lemon of CNN and Morning Joe and all the media, they're talking about Trump's health. They're saying, is Trump healthy? Is Trump okay? Well, wait a minute. I thought that it was a conspiracy theory. To talk about health, because remember when we talked about Hillary's health? So for those of you who are listening in, I'll read you the tweet that I tweeted out. Remember when the media said speculating about someone's health is a conspiracy theory? Amazing how the rules change. Morning Joe Roundtable speculates about Trump's mental health. So Morning Joe, of course, is MSNBC. They are now saying, well, I mean, is Trump healthy? He slurred his speech a little bit. Maybe his throat was dry. Well, I don't know. That isn't a conspiracy theory. And then Brian Stelter also tweeted out that we are now allowed to talk about Trump's health. But if you go back in time, Right. That's why they hate the internet. The real reason they want to ban you, because we'll show you these if you're watching and we'll show you one after another. And for those listening in, I'll have you the timeline. Here's a tweet from 8:56 p.m. on December 6th by Brian Stelter. It said, is it fair to ask about the president's health here? Of course it is. So this is a December 17th tweet. Now let's go to that Real Clear Politics article that the production team has locked and loaded. Here's what Brian Stelter said, August 2016. So I'm sorry, the tweet we just read was 2017. So over a year ago, Brian Stelter goes, Sean Hannity irresponsibly spreading conspiracy theories about Hillary Clinton's health problem. By the way, I think I just slurred a little bit there because my mouth is dry. I've talked for 4 hours today. So go figure, right? Go figure, you're President Donald Trump. You're in meetings all day. You're taking calls all day. You're talking to world leaders all day. Maybe you drink a couple Diet Cokes or Coke Zeros or InfoWars coffee. You get a little dry mouth. And then when you talk, maybe the word doesn't come out. Oh, now, you know, we can say that you got a mental problem, that you're sick, and that's free. You're free to talk about that. But if you're Hillary Clinton, excuse me, and you have to cancel multiple events due to some mysterious cough and have multiple falls and multiple trips and multiple bone breaks and multiple concussions and memory loss, and Uma says you're often confused, you're called a conspiracy theorist. And then, of course, Brian Stelter tweeted out it was a conspiracy theory 2 or 3 weeks before Hillary Clinton had a seizure on 9/11, her body locked up, consistent with a neurological condition. Some doctors say Parkinson, and fell down. And speaking of which, Donna Brazile, in her books Hacked, said that people who supported Hillary were reaching out to say she doesn't look healthy. So this right now, folks, for everybody watching, this is real news in real time. You can. This is why they want InfoWars banned. This is why they want banned from social media. Donna Brazile's book exposes liberal media's Hillary health cover-up. So now finally we're getting the truth. This is November 7, 2017. So over a year and a half after media lied to us. Donna Brazile wrote in her book, Hillary Clinton, very unhealthy, people worried about her. Donna Brazile even said, I went to Hillary Clinton and asked her what was wrong. I thought she looked fatigued. This is why. And this is the only reason they want us banned, because they want to attack you. They want to lie to you. They want to brainwash you. They don't want you to have somebody go, well, wait a minute, this big thing the media is saying today that can be talked about, they said we can't talk about health. The media are the ones who said talking about health is a conspiracy. The media has done that, right? They go, oh, let's just pretend that never happened. Let's just pretend that. So these media double standards. I mean, this is Trump. Media spreads conspiracy theory about Trump's health. I think that's what we'll title this segment. Because we have to make them play by the rules. So the media, they are now the conspiracy theorists, and they're spreading conspiracy theories about Trump's health. Because unlike Hillary, Trump just had a dry mouth. My mouth is a little dry right now. I got some kombucha, next to me that I'm drinking in between segments because I'm a little parched. Because if you talk as much as I talk, and as Trump talks even more than I do, eventually your vocal cords are like, no, 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 we're going to go on strike. So Trump one day slurs a few words, and now it's open season on his health. But Hillary Clinton has multiple coughing fits, multiple dizzy spells. Uma sends an email, Hillary Clinton is often confused. Hillary looks unhealthy. She looks sick. But that's a conspiracy theory. And then Hillary Clinton faints and has a seizure. And then the media goes, oh, she's hot. She didn't drink enough water. And then you look at the temperature, and it was really like 85 degrees or something. You know, we're not talking about she was in Iraq or Afghanistan. So yeah, here's Morning Joe. For those of you listening and not watching, you can watch the Morning Joe people say, oh, Trump, he slurred his speech, got an S wrong because of that, must be sick. This is a media conspiracy theory. But when we have all this evidence on Hillary, they still bring up Hillary's health, foolishly, I might add, because I love it when they bring up Hillary's health. When they go, wow, you spread conspiracy theories about Hillary's health. I think to myself, wow, you guys are still, is that the hill you guys want to die on when everybody knows she's sick? So they have no standards. And of course, we revealed this too with this whole Sam Cedar brouhaha. So there's an MSNBC contributor, Sam Cedar. He tweeted out a joke or a satire, according to him, about child rape. Very, very horrific. I couldn't even read it on air on the radio and not even stay for radio. So a bunch of people told MSNBC, hey, man, this is, you know, you're not supposed to make rape jokes, right? Because remember Dane Cook got in all that trouble? They said comedians should never make rape jokes because that is such a bad subject to talk about. You shouldn't joke about it. So child rape, I mean, if you, you know, I don't want to discount rape, but child rape is what, pretty much the worst thing that can ever happen to a child. So you shouldn't make child rape jokes or satire, as he claims now. He didn't answer when I emailed him. He could have said it was satire then. I don't know that I believed him then or that I believe him now. But the point is, he gets to stay on CNN, but Jeff MSNBC, and he'll go on CNN. But Jeffrey Lord, he made a Hail Hitler reference as a – he made a Hail Hitler reference. So the double standard has been exposed. If you do satire and you're Alex Jones, they're going to treat that as literally true. But if you do satire and you're on the left, you can satirize child rape. You talk about anything you want. If you're on the right team, the media has no integrity. They have no decency. That's why your support is so valuable and why I love talking with all of you. But we'll be back in a few more minutes.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Mike Cernovich.
And we're back with the final segment. Mike Cernovich, find breaking news and amazing viral videos done by my team at facebook.com/Mike Cernovich. I'm on InfoWars one day a week, but we're on facebook.com/Mike Cernovich every day. So, you know, we're going to go on CNN hard, but before we do, I don't know if Alex has insulated cups yet, because they do have gift cards on sale for 10% off. But, you know, now that Trump, you know, he slurred his speech a little bit. So now that my mouth is a little dry, I feel like I have to rehydrate, or all CNN is going to claim that, you know, I must be unhealthy because anybody, I kid. But the reason we bring up CNN spreading conspiracy theories about Trump's health is because CNN is busted. Fake news again. And CNN has a pattern of fake news. So let's talk about the latest. We'll pull up my Twitter. So for those of you at home listening in, we'll just read the tweets. These aren't my tweets, by the way. These are stories other people have broken. So even if you don't believe me, believe what you read. Believe the other stories. So CNN wrote a big article. The article claimed that Don Jr. had advanced notice of the WikiLeaks dump. So the story, wow, that's a pretty big story. Holy cow, Don Jr.'s in cahoots with WikiLeaks. Wow, big story. Can't believe it, right? So pay attention to the dates. The dates are what matter. The dates are what make or break the story. According to CNN, Don Jr. received an email about the WikiLeaks dump September 4th, 2016, before WikiLeaks had been public. Bombshell. Boom. It's over. The resistance went wild. Biggest story on Twitter. Ted Lau is saying, oh my God, it's over. We finally got him busted. Well, fake news, CNN. Fake news again. The email was dated September 14th, 2016, and it was dated after the WikiLeaks hacks or whatever you want to call them. Remember, if the media likes it, they call it a leak. If the media doesn't like it, they call it a hack. So always pay attention to how the media describes these things. If you give information the media likes, you're a brave, courageous whistleblower. If you give information that the media doesn't like, then you're a hacker or a wrongdoer. Just like me with the John Conyers thing. I was a whistleblower into sexual harassment undergone by women were undergoing by Conyers. The media didn't call me a courageous whistleblower. the media called me a bad person and they questioned my motives and everything. But so back to CNN, the September 14th email to the Trump campaign. I'm going to read that. I want to read it to the people listening at home just to point out how fake CNN is. The September 14th email to the Trump campaign advertising the WikiLeaks emails was promoting publicly available info and came from a Trump backer who had no connection to WikiLeaks. So in other words, you know, a lot of people here who are listening and reading, you'll send me a link to an article. And then a lot of times I'll say, oh, good article. And I post a link to the article. Don't think anything of it. But that doesn't, so if you send me a link to WikiLeaks, that doesn't mean you're part of WikiLeaks. So the email was actually sent September 14th. And you can't make this up on. But CNN, this isn't their first mistake on a big Russia story. Whenever these big Russia Mueller stories hit, you always need to take a cooling off period and wait for the traction. CNN had a big story about Anthony Scaramucci. They said Anthony Scaramucci was under investigation for taking money from Russia. Oh my God. This was back in June 2017. Oh my God. It's over for Scaramucci. He's under investigation. Well, as it turns out, Scaramucci is a man of means, and he said, I'm going to sue you into oblivion because this is fake. CNN retracted the story and apologized. So CNN got the story fake. But let's look more deeper into the people who broke that fake news story. One of them had won a Pulitzer Prize for journalism. One of them had been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. And if I'm not incorrect, one of them was from New York Times and one was from USA Today. So the New York Times actually did sort of a postmortem on it. And I think the article is how an elite media team was bruised by a fake Russia story. So that happened to CNN, right? So these journalists who blew the fake news story about Scaramucci, these were elite reporters. These weren't citizen journalists. These were the cream of the crop. Pulitzer Prize winners, Pulitzer Prize nominees. That is how fake the news is. Pulitzer Prize people are fake. People nominated for Pulitzer Prizes are fake. It's all fake. Any story about Trump or Russia, fake. Any story about Alex Jones and InfoWar, fake. Right. Sources said the three journalists responsible for the retracted story were very elite. They headed the CNN investigation unit. Elite. That's why I never believe anything CNN says about Alex Jones, Mike Cernovich, Donald Trump, InfoWars, or any Republican, because they're caught. Don Jr., they're caught. They're faking news every day. Jake Tapper spread fake news about the testimony of James Comey. He said James Comey was going to testify that Trump obstructed justice. James Comey actually testified the opposite. And then they always do a little, they go, we've updated our story. This is what the fake news media does. So let's go to my Twitter because I just see there's so much breaking news that if you're just a person with a real job, you can't even keep track of it. Yeah, so CNN succumbs to its own Comey hype. And then, of course, let's talk about what CBS did. CBS, if you scroll down a little bit on my timeline, CBS admits that they got the date wrong, but they say more. Scroll up a little bit. So CBS claimed the email was sent September 4th and that the information was not publicly available. Rather than say, because remember the date, don't be bored by the details. These are very, very important details. If the email was sent on September 4th, that's a pretty big story. Oh, wow, we got advance notice. But if the email was sent on September 14th, there is no story other than, hey, somebody who liked Don Jr. sent him a leak to publicly available information. So let's click over to CBS News. They're not saying retract our story. So scroll up to the first story. This is beautiful. I just love it. CBS, Don Jr. was offered access to hacked Democrat data during the campaign. A source who received the email tells CBS News, right? And then you go down and it says more. The September email to Donald Trump Jr. highlighted information that was already public. No, there is not more. But that's what they do, and that's what fake paper did with his Comey story. They go, oh, you know, we've updated the story. No, you didn't update. There is no story now. You have to issue a retraction. You have to say, we blew it, just like me. At the beginning of the hour, I personally apologized to everybody watching and listening, and I personally apologize to Alex Jones and the InfoWar people, because I thought it was crazy that that yearbook was forged. I was like, there's no way. Come on, guys. You know, shouldn't do. I'm wrong. I retract. I don't say update. I say, no, I retract that. I was wrong. The yearbook is a forgery. Everybody who said it was a forgery was right, and I own it. That's why you guys trust me. That's why you guys trust Alex. And then the media tries to like use it against us. Oh, well, they got a story wrong. Well, 99% of the time, we get it right. That 1% of the time, you have to own it, and then people know going forward we're always going to try to be better. But CNN, they don't do that. They don't say, we fully retract. Here's what they need to say. Retraction. Our earlier story got a crucial detail of the date wrong. When the email was sent, the information was already publicly available. Therefore, we retract the story in full. This is how a person, a woman, and gender non-binary, furry, this is how any human entity would own that mistake. They would just say, hey, we retract it, got it wrong, it's better in the future. You know what? That's how they would build trust. That's how they would build trust, because their peers would say, oh, wow, they're doing their best to tell the truth. But the next time CNN reports about me, Alex, and Forth, Don Jr., Audra Stone, Don Sr., don't believe it, because we've now proved that they do lie, they will lie, they will spread fake news, and when they get it wrong, they won't take personal responsibility for what they do. Same way with CBS. ABC and Brian Ross, you know, they just got caught. That was fake. But ABC broke the story accidentally about yearbook being a forgery. And we got to go. So I'll just sum it up. ABC asked her, did you forge it? She said, yeah, I did. They just moved on. They changed the subject. So the reporter was thinking, you got it. She asked the question. She said, no. So even when ABC breaks news, they fake news. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Facebook.com/Mike Cernovich. Mike Cernovich on Facebook. Like the page. Join the discussion. We're there every day. Thank you for support. God bless. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.